Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Far out, Shawnee.
Peace and love.
I think it's out of sight.
A splendid time is guaranteed for all.
Andy, these are all Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band references.
Uh-huh.
Even you are too young to understand. And producer Jack, who has said many times on the air already that he doesn't understand one thing that we say
in the first segment. For 4 hours.
He always does have that kind of quizzical look on his face.
Yeah, he has said many times from 9 to 9:30 he has absolutely no idea what we're talking about on the show. Are you familiar with this song at all, Sgt. Pepper's?
No.
It's a classic.
You're not?
No.
No, that's a classic.
Honest? I mean, are you just being obstinate? Or
I'm being honest. I don't lie.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Don't question my integrity.
He's a hammer.
If you talk to him personally, he'll tell you just exactly what he's thinking. That's why he's a good producer.
So you don't know anything about Sgt. Pepper at all, right?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Not a big music guy.
This is. Let me tell you.
Sit down, young man.
Shawnee, this album was released 50 years ago today.
More than that.
More than that. 1967.
1967. So how many 57? Years
57.
That would be 57. That's why you turned 57.
That's why you're celebrating. It's the 57th anniversary. That's a big thing. It's a big deal.
In 3 years, it'll be 60.
Slow news day, huh, Dean?
That's Jackie. Jack handles all the math on the show.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
Jack is the Sunday morning show accountant.
The fact that I had to take Algebra 2 twice, that's not a good thing.
Gosh. Well, that's why it's called 2.
Exactly. They didn't even let me take it once.
And I'm only hearing out of one ear and my headphones.
How old are you now?
It's extremely distracting to me.
It's called sudden hearing loss. I had that about 5 years ago. It's scary. Are you plugged in?
Hello, Testy. Yeah, I'm plugged in.
Well, I don't know about that, but... Wow. You know what? You're a pro, Dean. You can get through it.
I'm playing hurt.
Change headphones.
You're playing in mono now. Now you're really playing in mono.
Yeah, wait a minute. Oh. Now it just popped back in.
You need to bring...
It is me.
I'm telling you.
It's not the headphones.
I don't think it's the headphones.
I'll run home and get my COS Pro 4 AA headphones.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Radio Shack heaven.
Yeah, this is where...
Do you know what I mean by those?
This is where I joined Jack, and I have no idea what he's talking
about. You need an RCA plug?
No, an RCA quarter-inch phono plug.
There you go. Right.
Yes.
Now, the headphones to which Shawnee is referring were the standard headphones.
COS, Pro 4 AA.
80s, all the DJs wore them.
K-O-S-S.
They weighed about 25 pounds. I'm pretty sure that's why I have no hair, because I wore those headphones all the time.
But I used to have those at home, too. They used to sell those.
Oh, yeah. That was the headset to have.
So uncomfortable.
They were brown.
Yeah, light brown or tan.
Yeah.
And they had liquid in the ear cushions that would leak out.
In the pads.
Eventually.
Ooh. Yeah.
You know, you'd be listening, and all of a sudden you'd feel this little sensation running
down. Andy, if you can think of anything else that is of absolutely no interest to the listeners.
Yeah.
Or Andy. Let me think there. Andy just walked out.
Come on now. I would not quit like that.
No mic drop?
No mic drop. Nope.
What are the other songs on Sgt. Pepper?
Oh, my gosh. Lucy in the Sky
with Diamonds.
When I'm 64.
When I'm 64. A Day in the Life.
Day in the Life. The end. You know, the great ending with that.
That was unbelievable.
I remember when this...
Getting better all the time.
When I first heard the song, When I'm 64.
Leaving Home. Yeah. Great song.
I remember when I heard the song, When I'm 64, for the first time, and thinking... Oh, that's so old.
I know.
64 is so old.
You don't even remember 64 anymore.
I will never be that old.
I got a copy of Sgt. Pepper's for my 11th birthday.
Yeah.
Wow. That was a birthday present.
Yeah, I was too young to remember the whole thing of it, but my gosh, over the last, what is it now, 57 years,
57
Dean?
57 years.
June 1st, 1967.
Yeah. Man, I mean, that changed everything. It changed album covers.
Changed everything.
It changed fashion. It changed pop music. And, you know, interestingly enough, on Disney Plus, there's a new Beach Boys documentary. It's okay, but...
I liked it.
Did you? Well, I'm a Beach Boys fan, so I knew a lot of what was going on. But
later in the show, I have my one-on-one interview, or two-on-one interview, with Mike Love and Al Jardine.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I didn't even know that. Yeah.
From the Beach Boys.
But it does say how Pet Sounds influenced when Paul McCartney heard Pet Sounds.
Brian Wilson's Pet Sounds.
In 1966, he was like, uh-oh, okay.
Hey, lads, we can do better than that.
It's time to do something. Do you know how Sgt. Pepper got its title?
No.
Paul was on a flight with his assistant, this guy Mal Evans.
Is this going to be as interesting as the headphone conversation?
I'm trying to look up the headphones perhaps. That I use as the DJ teacher for a little later in the show.
And they're on a flight, and he said to Paul, "Pass the pepper." And Paul thought he said Sgt. Pepper. And that's where he got the idea.
Not
for the
sure
name.
I believe that.
That's what he's. Well, that's what Paul says.
I'm not sure I believe. I think he's lying.
Wow.
Sounds too
well
stupid.
Call him up. Don't you have his number? You have Pat Boone's, you told me earlier.
I do. today's Pat Boone's 90th birthday, Schwani, also.
Is it really?
Look at Jack's face.
Yeah.
Pat Boone, if he doesn't know who the Beatles are.
When I do this show on Sunday morning, I feel like I'm in Las Vegas at the number of times Jack's eyes roll back into his head. It's like looking at a slot machine.
I wonder what show he's listening to while this is on. What station he has on.
You know those young kids, they love their podcasts now.
Now that's true.
Yeah. Schwani, name me three Pat Boone songs.
Oh. I know a couple of them, but I can't come up with titles right now. Of course, we all know the song that his daughter did in the 70s.
1977.
You Light Up My Life.
It's not her birthday.
But it's not her birthday.
8 weeks at number one, You Light Up My Life. That was a record at the time.
No, I can't come up with any titles.
Pat Boone's song.
And yet, look how well-known. We all know who Pat Boone is, but Boone, but why don't we know a song?
Yeah. Are we going to get to finish a sentence on this show at all?
Jesus. Okay. Well, you know, I'll probably... What time's your news? 9:30? I'll be gone.
You can go now if you want.
Oh, wow, see, there we go. Wow. Wow.
Just saying. I start a sentence and somebody's interrupting me.
Jack, get the muzzle.
Oh. Yeah, put it on me.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, but me and Andy and Schwani are having a nice little conversation.
Well, you, in your mind you are, yes.
Need the hammer?
Yes.
Jack Hammer. Jack Hammer, Jack as Hammer. We now call it. Yeah.
Pat Boone.
Pat Boone's song, Love Letters in the Sand.
Ah, yes. Okay.
5 weeks at number one.
And you don't even know it.
1957.
And we couldn't even... I mean, he's known... You know, he's going to go down in history for white patent leather shoes and the fact that he sang a lot of the songs that were written and performed by black performers but couldn't get on the radio.
Oh, he completely was a cover artist.
Yeah. And so he did, you know, Rip It Up and, you know, a lot of Little Richard songs and things. So that's sort of where his
We looked it up earlier because we were just talking about Pat Boone back in the office. Love Letters in the Sand is not original from Pat Boone. I forget the name of... It was a big band vocalist, a female big band vocalist, who first had the song Love Letters in the Sand, and then Pat Boone covered it, and he became... It was number one for, what I say, 5 weeks.
Yeah, well, in 1957, you can tell, that's when Elvis went to the Army.
Very true.
When you hit Frankie Avalon and Fabian and Pat Boone.
Bobby Vinton.
And Bobby Vinton, yeah. You knew Elvis was in Germany.
Gonzalez, away from Tannery Road.
Remember this one, Schwani?
Stop.
We're going to the sock hop with this one.
With that bluesy name float.
Come on home to your adobe.
Schwanee would have been a little too young, but I picture if Schwanee had been old enough, I think he would have been a greaser.
I think it's just the most. It's just the most.
Speedy Gonzales, why don't you come home?
Can you imagine a song being released today called Speedy Gonzales? No.
Andale, andale.
Yeah, remember there's a, yeah, there's a part of the song where they're
marking. Andale,
andale. Crazy. Want to know some other things that happened on this day in history, Schwanee?
Sure, go right ahead.
Andy's still with us?
I'm here. Yeah, just kind of listening and waiting. You know,
Andy's listening and waiting. He knows I'm in a fight. I'm in a snappy mood today.
It's all good.
I got my mic off. I'm not even talking.
It's about time. The cable news network made its debut on this day in 1980.
1980.
Yeah.
Wow.
A lot of the kids now call it CNN.
The CNN.
The CNN. Yeah.
Who was the, was it Bernard Shaw? He was the first anchor, wasn't he?
Yeah.
See that?
Chicago guy, right?
Yeah.
Schwanee, didn't you know all the news anchors personally?
No, I don't think so.
He should. He's a Peter Lissiger winner.
That doesn't mean I know everybody.
Lissagore? No. Yeah. Congratulations, Dave.
Thank you very much.
Nice.
Thank you.
That's nice.
Thank you. It was great to be there and pick that up and represent the station. Well,
I saw him out in front of the jewel store in his neighborhood with his,
showing it off
with his plaque. Hi, welcome to Jewel. Did you know I won a big journalism award?
$10 for a selfie with it.
30 cents off blueberries if you mention that at the cash register.
Don't forget self-checkout.
How do we feel about the self-checkout?
I don't use it.
I love self-checkout.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. Hey, I pay enough. I'm not bagging. I bagged groceries for when I was in high school. I'm not bagging.
I like it. I enjoy it.
I have to rebag my groceries anyway when I go to the car because they're bagged so terribly.
That's if you had bagged it yourself in the first place, you wouldn't have to do that.
But then you got to weigh the grapes and you got to know the number and everything.
You don't have to know the number. There's the scan code on everything.
But no, you have to look it up.
Sometimes you have to look it up.
Well, sometimes you do, but almost everything has a scan code on it now.
The only thing that bothers me about the checkout lanes is that the people who have 150 items in front of you.
That would be me.
And that would be you, covered up, of course, that you can't see, you know, decides to take
one of the lanes. I don't like to be judged by my fellow shoppers.
The particular store, it was very refreshing to see someone, an employee of the store, directing traffic to various ones that are open, and they actually told somebody, you have more than 15 items in your cart. Oh. You have to go over there. Oh. They didn't like that, but they did. They went anyway.
Here's the only thing I don't like about self-checkouts is that I know stuff like that, all the self-checkout things, ATMs, whatever, now that we now all just do on our own, have taken somebody's job away.
That's true.
True.
Oh, gosh.
That part I'm not crazy about.
You go to the grocery store, and there's only one, maybe two aisles open with cashiers.
Right.
And sometimes there's only one. If you go during the day, I mean, there's hardly any. There's seven. They have all the aisles there, but they don't stock them anymore with people.
Yeah.
And they push you to the self-checkout. They don't really want you to. One time I went to Target. And this is my problem. I forgot to, you know how you have your toilet paper and, you know, it's in the thing and you know, you don't take it out immediately because it's not easy to scan. So I forgot.
Oh, you
did, yeah.
You shoplifted the toilet paper?
So I'm driving home and I'm like, did I take that out and scan that?
Oh, wow.
I got home. I looked at my thing.
Yeah.
I did not.
Yeah.
In Target, they have a little camera. Right by the self-checkout.
I got news for you. All the self-checkouts have cameras.
Oh, do they? Well, mm-hmm.
At Target, they show you the image.
Yeah.
So you know that you're on camera.
That's what I mean.
But you are being recorded every second that you are up at that self-checkout.
Well, I'll tell you, the Target guys are smart. I drove back to Target
because
I was afraid that I would be blacklisted from Target. And I drove back and I went to the service counter, and I
said, "Did they have your picture posted in the customer service?"
When I was accosted at the door
with the big red circle, Target red circle.
That's what they give you
right on his forehead.
Yeah, he had a Target, all right.
Yeah, right. And I told the woman, I said, "I didn't pay for this."
Wow.
She looked at me like I was nuts. Crazy. Yeah. She didn't even know what to, she said. So, well, and I said, she goes, "Well, do you want to pay for it?" And I said, "Well, yeah.
Do you want to pay for it?"
Good for you.
And so, and that's not cheap. You know, that's like $20. Right, you know, that's not a cheap item. But I was so paranoid that I was on that camera.
Yeah.
That I drove back.
That's one of the. I mean, that's like sort of the reason that I cover my items when I'm shopping. I don't want people judging me. Because I don't want to go on Twitter and have somebody. So I saw Dean Richards buying Charmin.
Yeah, he eats radishes.
Because somebody did do that to me once.
Oh.
When I was at the, when self-checkouts first came out, and I was doing it, and there was a problem with the machine. The problem wasn't with me, but some dope who was behind me tweeted that I'm standing behind Grandpa Richards, who can't figure out how to use the self-checkout.
Whoa.
On Twitter. On
Wow.
Twitter.
Ouch.
That's why I go shopping at 5 in the morning now and keep my groceries covered. Clock is ticking, Schwani. We got to keep everything on time today.
Well, thank you very much.
When I nod my head, you hit it.
No, you have to throw me the cue, the visual.
Oh, I got a cue for you, all right?
Wow. Thank you very much, Uncle Dean, and good morning, everyone. Today, we will need your compasses and protractors and far-flung newfangled devices because we're going overseas today all the way to France, to a village named Sainte-Mère-Église.
Say that again?
Sainte-Mère-Église, which means, loosely translated, the Church of St. Mary.
Oh.
It is in northern France, and the earliest indications or mentions of it in historic records date from about 1080. So it has a 1,000-year history. But 80 years ago, Sainte-Mère-Église, on the beaches near Normandy, was one of the very first villages or towns in France to be liberated from Nazi occupation during the Normandy invasion. D-Day taking place 80 years ago, this coming Thursday. 80 years ago.
How about that?
Sainte-Mère-Église was one of the very first towns that was liberated by the troops. By the end of June 6th, there were 155,000 Allied troops that had landed on shore there.
Storming that beach.
Storming the beaches, yes. So we thought we would honor all of those.
Is that one of the most horrific images ever, really? Turned out okay, of course, but all of these teenagers, basically, these young soldiers, storming the beach of Normandy to waves and waves of machine gun fire.
And the first wave of those guys, you know, they were gone.
Yeah.
That was 7 out of 10.
Yeah, was it that much?
7 out of 10 was the estimate.
Horrific. Yes. We went there. Yeah. My wife and I went to Normandy last summer.
Yeah.
And it is, when you see those black and white photos of all those boats coming in and the guys jumping out. Yeah. But then when you're there, you know what? It's a beach. It's a beach. Mm-hmm. You know, it looks so much more impressive or impressive with the wet. But now you go there and you go, and then they still have in the top of the beach, they still have the guns.
The gun turrets.
Yeah. The turrets there. Yeah. And if you see how close they were to the beach, to your point, Schwani, I'm surprised 7 out of 10 made it. Surprised it wasn't 10 out of 10 that didn't make it.
I gotta go and see it. I know that I'll be reduced to a puddle of tears.
Oh, it's when I go. It's amazing.
Yeah, and as I've mentioned, a good friend of mine's father landed on Normandy on that day, June 6th, 1944. He was part of that invasion. and obviously came back, and he did discuss it. He was one of those. Not everybody wants to talk about what they did
because it was a nightmare.
But he would. He talked about it, and it spent time in the active reserves long after the war. I believe retiring as a colonel or something like that in the U.S. Army. But he was among those that ended up being 155,000 people for that invasion of Normandy, which started to turn the tide for the Second World War.
Saint-Mère-Église was one of the very first.
It's on very, very close to the beaches in northern France in the Normandy region. Today, it's mostly cloudy and 70, but on the 80th anniversary this coming Thursday, they will have sunny skies and 82. Very different weather from 80 years ago.
941, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Time for the Week in Health. Our pal Dr. Jeremy Silver joining us. Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. How is Dr. Silver today?
Good morning, Dean. Good to talk to you.
When you're not feeling well, do you go see a doctor or do you just self-diagnose yourself? It occurred to me when I said, how are you? If somebody wasn't feeling well, they'd go see a doctor. What if you are the doctor? What do you do?
Well, you know, Dean, I look in the mirror and I say, self, what should I do? No, you know, my wife is a nurse, and generally speaking, I'll defer to her because, you know, she basically is the smartest person I know and has a lot of good insight.
Oh, okay. He doesn't like his bedside manner.
but that's a whole psychological issue.
I'm not even going to go there.
That's a whole. Yeah, maybe we need to get Mrs. Silver on the show one of these
good
weeks.
Good idea. You will dispatch it to both of you quickly.
Why are we dealing with the number two Silver on the segment every week? We've got,
she's the smartest one.
She just heard that she's the smartest one in the house. So I've been hearing stories the past couple of weeks about incidents of COVID on the rise in certain states around the U.S. And I've been hearing stories about people having effects of long COVID from, you know, the original COVID when it hit 3-4 years ago. Where are we with all of this? Are we seeing an uptick? What's the latest here in the state of Illinois? How concerned should we be about all of this?
Well, great questions. We are seeing a new variant nicknamed the FLIRT variant, F-L-I-R-T, and these nicknames just come based on where the mutations are on the protein itself. But anytime the variant becomes, there's a new dominant variant in the mix, there's going to be some escape of the immune system, and so you're going to just automatically see an uptick in cases. In terms of, you know, where we're at right now, small uptick. The wastewater is a good way to track viral activity. Without getting into the nitty gritty, we see increases in wastewater viral activity when it's high in the community. And we're not seeing that, at least not in Illinois. Now, there is in the West Coast and then in Florida. I looked at the map this morning. There is an increase in COVID activity, but it's minimal. So there's no indication to suggest that this variant is more severe. Likewise, there's no indication to suggest that it's escaping the last round of vaccine boosters that came out in the fall of 2023, last fall. So I think, you know, we'll see how it goes. And it's the summertime and people are outdoors, so maybe that mitigates things a bit.
So are people experiencing symptoms of long COVID? Are people still without taste or smell? Are people still, you know, living with the effects of the first go round of COVID?
Yeah, long COVID is a tricky one, simply because there's so many vague symptoms that can be associated with it. Let's just start with chronic fatigue, for instance, which can be attributed to so many things, whether it's stress, lack of sleep, or some other immune condition that can be commingled with this. So very difficult to diagnose. It certainly seems that it's real. And there's a small percentage of people, and the numbers vary, but in the low digits, who are still suffering from this. I don't personally know how much of it is associated with the earlier COVID variants that were more severe versus whether we're going to see as much long COVID as we develop these kind of variants further and further out from the initial pandemic. That's just a level of complication beyond my expertise. But I think you definitely see people that have it. I personally know folks that have been struggling with this, and I don't know that there are any great answers.
Do you see people in the emergency room coming in? You know, they come in for one thing, and I'm sure you do a full examination, and you find that somebody has been walking around with COVID and they didn't even know it.
So you do see folks that are positive for COVID, and they weren't aware of it. That was more common earlier in the pandemic than I think today. But you talk to folks and you do meet people that have developed issues. Whether it's a chronic neuropathy, meaning a tingling sensation in the fingers and toes. I've seen that. I've seen people, like you said, that have had loss of smell or chronic hoarse voice. So they lose their voice and it doesn't come back. And certainly a brain fog is another one, particularly in older folks. So there's definitely a chunk of folks out there that are struggling.
Yeah. The issue about immunizations, persists about this. There was a time when I could tell you exactly when I had gotten all of my immunizations, what the variants were all named. I really don't even remember when I got my last immunization for it all. I don't know. Is it possible to say where we should be with this? A text came in from the 815 area code. We are two people in our 70s. We are both immunocompromised. Our last COVID shot was last September. Is it time for another dose? So what can you tell us generally about where we should be with immunizations for this? And by the way, in my opinion, thank God goodness for the immunizations. Otherwise, COVID would still be killing people the way that it did in the beginning of the pandemic. The immunizations now just mean that maybe you'll, just have a cold, a bad symptoms of a bad cold instead of being hospitalized. Am I oversimplifying it?
No, I think that's a great way of simplifying it. And again, when you look at a drug, whether it's a vaccine or Tylenol, there's always a risk. In fact, many people view, this is the example I give people, many people view Tylenol as one of the safest drugs out there. You've got it in your cabinet, you've got it in your travel bag, and you take it when you need it. Well, the number one cause of liver failure in the United States by toxin is Tylenol. So Tylenol can kill you if you overdose on it or take too much of it. And so I think it's just a matter of understanding the risks and benefits and very clearly the risks of the vaccine. And there are small risks, right? Nothing is without risk. There are small ones, but they're outweighed by the benefits, like you say. In terms of where we're at, anyone, according to your text or your caller, people 65 years and older, you will be considered up to date if you've got the most recent vaccine doses, the 2023 and 2024 vaccine. So this past fall, Pfizer came out with a booster. And so if you were in that age group or if you're immunocompromised, you'd want to get that.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back. Want to get to as many calls and texts for Dr. Jeremy Silver as we can. 312-981-7200. Dr. Jeremy Silver on the line with us today on The Week in Health. If you've got questions, you've got comments, 312-981-7200. Here is the 262 area code. It says, please ask the doctor which NSAID? NSAID is the safest to take for pain. How do you pronounce that, doctor?
NSAIDs, so non-steroidal anti-inflammatory.
That's what I was going to say. That's how I'm used to saying it. So what
you're right on the money, Dean.
Okay. So you talked about there could be liver issues for Tylenol. Which are the safest, pain reducers right now?
Well, every pain reducer has its upside and downside, and certainly NSAIDs, non-steroidals, and just to be clear for the audience, these are things like Motrin, ibuprofen, Aleve. So those are all kind of in the same category. They all act the same way in terms of the biochemistry of the drug. The downside of NSAIDs is that they can really irritate the stomach, and they can be dangerous to the kidneys in people with diabetes and kidney disease. So number one piece of advice is talk to your doctor, especially if you're not young and healthy. If you are young and healthy, God bless you, and follow the instructions on the package. In terms of which one is safest, they're all relatively safe when taken appropriately.
Aren't certain ones, though, better for headache, and some are better for muscular pain? I mean, aren't there certain pain relievers which are more effective for certain things?
Yes and no. So some of it is really individual dependent. And I will tell you that, so for some folks will swear by Tylenol, for instance, for fever reducer, whereas other folks like ibuprofen, they find it works better. Some people in the setting of headache will swear by Tylenol, and other people really like the Motrin. So they act in different ways, and I don't know that there's necessarily a best one for a condition. Although I will say for joint pain like arthritis and things of that nature, musculoskeletal complaints, I do find that the NSAIDs tend to be more effective, but that's just in my own personal experience.
So the weather is so much nicer these past few days, never mind that it poured raining like a monsoon all day yesterday. For the most part, we've had some pretty nice weather and people are outside and enjoying. What are some of the issues that, we should be most aware of now that summertime is here and people are outside?
Well, I think, Dean, it's just so nice to be able to walk outside in a t-shirt. And many people head right for the swimming pool or the lake or the nearest body of water. And so with young children, and really I'm talking about kids that are kind of under teenage years, especially kids that can't swim or haven't taken swim lessons, but even ones that have, water safety is so important. Drowning is the leading cause of death in kids from the age of 1 to 4 when you take out birth defects. So it's a huge thing, and I think people underappreciate how important it is. And so just keeping an eye on kids, not relying on flotation devices. Those are unreliable. Even if your kid has had swimming lessons, use a buddy system. If you've got a bunch of parents hanging around a pool, just designate someone to be the watcher. Because drowning is silent. It's not the sort of thing where everyone starts yelling and screaming, and the kid won't make any noise, and the next thing you know, you're at the bottom of the pool.
Yep. Yeah, terrifying. I know when Jim filled in for me a couple of weeks ago, he tried his best to get a conversation going about sunscreens. I can't believe I'm so thankful. I don't want to jinx it now that our phone line hasn't dropped out.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Dr.
Silver.
I'm sorry, Doctor. We did have to bail. I tried four times, if you remember. And then just kept.
So just
some things just aren't meant to be.
Yeah. Don't believe me. You're not the first one to bail on Jim four or five times in a row. Someone's going to be running out to get some sunscreen today. First of all, if I have sunscreen from last year, do I need to get new sunscreen? Does it expire?
You'd have to look at the bottle. I think most of these sunscreens have an expiration date.
Okay.
Although they kind of fit into two categories. You've got the chemical sunscreens and the mineral sunscreens, and I'd be willing to bet the mineral sunscreens have a longer shelf life, but that's just my guess.
So in general, should we be looking at a particular number that is considered safest?
And you're talking about the SPF number, I assume.
Higher the number, the better.
The higher the better, but it does reach a point of diminishing returns. So really anything over 50 may add a small amount of benefit, but if you're going to be outside for any length of time and the sun is direct, 50 is the way to go.
All right. That's some good advice. We will, I'm sure, get into it more as summer goes on. Doctor, I hope you have a wonderful Sunday today, And thank you for joining us, Dr. Jeremy Silver, the medical director, emergency medicine, Northwestern Medicine, Kishwaukee Hospital.
Dean, thanks so much. Have a good one.
Is it my imagination, or is Andy being super quiet today?
Well, I'm not really being super quiet. I mean, you guys have been talking about Sergeant Peppers and things that are a little before my
Pepper,
time.
Pepper.
Him too.
Singular.
Him
Pepper.
Too.
How about Caleb Williams there, Andy?
Let's talk Caleb Williams. Yes. See, now that'll get my going. That'll get me going here.
How about Craig Counsell? Should we fire him? Would you bring back Dave Ross?
No. Come on.
Now, see, I was going to bring up Kaje Gugu.
Too shy. Hush, hush. Why do I?
To something more in his musical wheelhouse.
In my wheelhouse. Exactly right. Yeah.
And what about this Caleb guy, though?
Yeah, I think he's going to.
I see him out on the practice field now. And
yeah. I think the there were some team.
I would not want to be him for any money.
No,
in the world.
I know. There's a lot of pressure on this kid, obviously.
Like more than any. Is it correct to say more than any Bears quarterback?
He's the savior of the organization right now.
I would say the last time that we thought that the Bears had the savior of the offense was when they traded Kyle Orton to Denver for Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
And we know how that worked out.
But this is even bigger. How mad Schwanny was when that happened.
Yes, he was. He didn't even think that was fine, by the way. He thought that was only mediocre.
And now they're going to be on this Hard Knock show.
Yeah, just a little extra distraction. The HBO show that follows around one football team. The Bears and two other teams were the only ones that were really available for it this year because they had never done it. And the McCaskey family fought tooth and nail not to have them do this show.
Yeah, they should be concentrating on their main job. Right?
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, the teams get final cut, so to speak, on what is aired and what is not aired, so that they have a little protection in that respect. But it's going to be interesting to kind of see that show and how the veterans are treating Caleb Williams and how he progresses from practice to practice. And I know that sounds kind of stupid, but, you know, from the first OTAs that they had last week, he had a couple of rough outings out there on the practice field against the Bears defense. And to a man, everybody said that he took that information, worked on it, and improved quite a bit the last week. So they're going to have minicamp coming up next week as well. So it's good to hear that he's progressing. Again, I wouldn't anoint him the NFL Rookie of the Year at this point, but it's good to hear that the things are trending in that direction. So, but yeah, he's got the most pressure on him than any Bears quarterback probably since Sid Luckman.
So, Schwanny, if OB was here right now, what would he be saying about all this?
He better get out there, and he better perform. He's got to do it in 10 minutes, or it's going to be nothing. He's got to get it done. I'm tired of it.
Pretty good.
You know what? If all my things, I've been doing this show for over 30 years.
That's your favorite.
That is my favorite thing that's on this show.
Well, a butterfly.
10:12, Dean Richards, Sunday morning. We started the show talking about how Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band was released on this day in 1967, and that the Beach Boys, Mike Love, and Al Jardine will be on the show. Coming up a little bit later on.
This isn't the Beach Boys.
So I thought I would look up to see what the number one song was 100 years ago today. This is it, folks.
This show has to be canceled right now if we're playing this.
This was a singer by the name of Wendell Hall.
Oh, my God.
Anybody know?
He was the Swiftie 100 years ago. He was the Taylor Swift
100
years ago.
Yeah, this song is about somebody he dated at one time, like Taylor Swift.
We were called Wendells.
It ain't gonna rain no mo.
No mo.
It's M-O apostrophe. No mo.
Oh, wow.
Never heard of him.
Number one song on this day.
1924.
Yeah.
100 years ago.
100 years ago. You know what else was 100 years ago today? Or yesterday, actually? June 1st? When WGN became WGN.
Oh, yes.
Because when WGN first went on the air, it went under different call letters.
So that's right. Last year, they were celebrating the 100 year last year.
Because it went out, the station went on the air.
Right.
But it was June 1st, 1923. four. Mm-hmm. Four.
You know what year this is?
I told you I'm not good with math.
How are those ears doing?
Then they changed the call letters to WGN.
So that's when the Tribune bought it, right? And the world's greatest newspaper.
So happy anniversary, Schwanny.
Happy anniversary, Dean. Happy anniversary, Andy.
Happy anniversary,
Andy.
Anniversary.
Yeah.
Anniversary, Jack.
Raise a glass. Wow. Look at how things have progressed in 100 years.
I told Jack I'm bringing in my copy of Sgt. Pepper next week so he can...
Far out, man.
So he can look at it. I think it's, we're gonna have I think it's the most.
8-track cassette? What are you bringing in?
I'm bringing in the original vinyl.
Do you have the original that you bought in 1967?
My dad bought it for me for my birthday. Yes, wow. I do.
Now, the other question is, do we have a turntable to play it on?
Actually, we do. There's one in one of the engineering rooms here.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They still have one?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You mean I could be doing scratch mixes on this show?
You could be doing this, yes.
Mixmaster Dean.
Dean Diamond.
Back in the day. I used to do that in some clubs.
Well, you were smooth. What, you did a lot of music. You were smooth. You were oldies. You were...
Yeah. What kind of turntables did you use?
Did you have a Techniques?
Couldn't tell you.
With a Shure V15 Type 3 cartridge?
I could.
Wow. Jeez.
I blame myself for that.
Yeah, you started.
I opened the Pandora's box on
I think
them.
He's making numbers up.
Yeah, I don't, yeah. Yeah, who's checking this? Yeah.
Fact check.
Yeah, did you have a distribution amplifier?
I've been saying that about Schwanny for the last 35 years, that he just makes stuff up. Half, like 90% of what he says, he just...
But he says it with conviction, so you believe him.
I guess so. Schwanny, would you be surprised to hear that we actually found a recording of that very first day?
Of your show?
Of when WGN became WGN.
I would be.
100 years ago yesterday. It was,
really?
Yeah. It was a newscast from 1924. Want to hear it?
I do.
Jack?
Forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Increasing clouds today. High only around 5. Maybe some rain this afternoon as well. Rain and maybe showers overnight tonight. A low in the 30s. Cloudy, windy, cold for the season with a chance of rain and in the morning. And a high around 44. 46 now at O'Hare. I'm Dave Schwann, Chicago's very own 720 WGN, WGNradio.com.
Potty mouth then, potty mouth now.
Wait a minute. WGNradio.com in 1924? I don't think so.
He was a little ahead of his time.
It was always, the station has always been a groundbreaker.
100 years ago.
Man. And where were the studios? Do you know?
Schwanny, do you know?
Well, the original WDAP was in the Wrigley Building.
The DAP.
The DAP.
And I would imagine, you know, 1920, let's see, when was Tribune Tower built? Around that time, you know, if they weren't in the Tribune Tower right at that time, they would have been moving in there very soon after.
Yeah.
So, you know, somewhere here on Michigan Avenue, I would imagine. The man I would have wanted to have met would have been one of the early announcers on WGN, Quinn Ryan. There was a guy that did everything. Music, news, sports, the whole...
Like this show.
The whole range of things.
We offer all those same services here on this show.
And on time.
Yes, we do.
The show's not over yet, but we'll see. But a little later on, I want to talk about music and the brain. I have long since heard that music stays in your brain. When my mom got Alzheimer's and dementia, the doctor spoke frequently of, like, what are her favorite songs, play her favorite songs. People respond, people with brain injuries, dementia, diseases, etc., respond to music. And I always thought that was interesting. And it was true. When I would play my mom's favorite song, she would respond greatly to it all. And I had something that happened to me the other day with a song I'll bet I haven't heard in 50 years, easily. A song from the 60s.
Was it "I Ain't Gonna Rain No Mo"?
Ain't gonna rain no more, no more. Ain't gonna rain no
more.
It was a song by Herman's Hermits.
Ah.
I don't want to get too deeply into it right now because we'll flush it out a little more. But Suffice to say, it was a song I haven't heard, literally I haven't heard now in 50 years. It came on the radio, and I was like, oh, wow, I remember that song. I haven't heard it in a million years. And in my car, I sang every single word of the song.
Instant recall,
and I thought, what is stuck in that crazy old brain of mine?
And you don't even know what day it is or year.
That's packed in there. And I can't remember what I had for breakfast.
Right. But, isn't that crazy?
But the stupid song, I remembered every single word.
So like those grooves you make when you're a young kid, they stay in your brain.
What else is in there? What else is stuck in there somewhere that you don't even realize that is in there? Anyway, we'll get into that coming up later on. Elton Jim Toronto is here with us this morning. But listen anyway, as he likes to say.
Yes.
Jim is a very talented actor and a Joseph Jefferson Award nominated actor.
Four-time
nominated.
Two years in a row.
Yeah, which means
haven't won, but
yeah, which means that he has not won four times.
I am the Susan Lucci of Chicago theater.
I think you got a ways to go before you become Susan Lucci.
Yeah, she didn't win 17 years in a row.
Yeah. But you're well on your way.
Don't
be discouraged. You're well on your way. I have faith you can do it.
No, I'm honored to have been nominated.
He is starring in a new production that is just opened the other day.
Yeah, we just started open on Friday. Had a sold out house, and we play. In fact, I'm going to be leaving here a little earlier today. I'm sure you're sad about that because we've got a 2:30 matinee. It's an Arthur Miller play, his first big hit called All My Sons. It's from the late 40s, post-World War II.
You mean All My Sons with Fred McMurray?
No, that's my three sons.
Chip and Ernie?
Yeah, I'm playing Uncle Charlie. Hey, Steve, what the heck? Where's my pots and pans? And tell Chip to get up.
You know, back in the Navy when I was on that steamer.
Where's Robbie?
So tell us about All My Sons.
Yeah, so this is an Arthur Miller play. It was actually his second play. Hello, Chip. Ernie?
Okay, that's enough of that.
Yeah, it's my three sons.
No, the play.
Yeah, the play All My Sons.
All My Sons.
It is. We are now playing at the Greenhouse Theater, which is at 2257 on Lincoln.
That's a legit theater.
I'm doing legit
That's
theater.
The old Victory Gardens
Yes,
theater.
It is. Yeah. There's about two or three different theaters in there.
Yeah.
We're in the one that has about 45 or 46 seats, okay. So it's a nice intimate thing. Yeah. And like I said, only six performances. It's the first production by a new theater group called the Warehouse Theater Company, who's run by a really talented guy who's directing our show, also producing it, named Josiah Motok. And I've never worked with any of these people, and they've been very welcoming to me. And I'm just very excited because we've done the two shows so far, and the
What's the play about?
The reactions? Well, 1947, the play was written. It's, as I said, Arthur Miller wrote his first play. It flopped after four shows on Broadway. Hmm. He wrote, so now he's like, okay, maybe this is not my chosen profession. And his then mother-in-law, apparently, gave him this news story that was talking about during World War II, there was a company that was making parts for the military, and there was a cover-up. About defective parts, and they thankfully, I don't believe, got into any planes. But so he used that as the impetus for this. So basically, the story is that I play the father of this family, post World War II, now doing well as America is in 1947. Me and my partner got in trouble because there was some defective parts that got into some planes and actually killed about 21 pilots.
Oh, jeez.
And I blame it on my partner. Mm. So my partner is in jail, but I'm not. But then my partner's son comes back and sort of says, well, we think we need to dig in this a little more. Mm. And it's not only that, but it really is also a statement on, at this time already, in 1947, a a question about the American dream. You know, now the economy is bubbling. Everybody's got this post-war euphoria. America has saved the world for democracy. Everybody's got the nice manicured lawn and the house and the car and all these. And yet, is it real? You know, is there such thing as the perfect family, the perfect? And we certainly have, my family in this play certainly has a lot of secrets to hide, and yet we're putting on this other facade. So there's some great dramatic moments. It's funny and places, but it's also, and we look about the American dream today and how people are wondering, is it possible? So here's a play that, you know.
That's what struck me while you were describing this, of how this is something which really could be ripped out of the newspaper.
Yes. I mean, Arthur.
Of something still going on. The other thing that struck me with this is Arthur Miller, maybe one of the most renowned playwrights of all time, having a moment in his career where he thinks, maybe I should have gotten into plastics.
Right? Yeah.
I should have done something else. If that's not a message to anybody in any career when things are not going well, to just stick with your dream, stay with it. Even Arthur Miller had his moments of doubt.
He was going to quit. Yeah. I mean, and then he writes this play and he winds up winning the Tony Award and having this amazing career. Of course, Arthur Miller went on to write Death of a Salesman and The Crucible, married Marilyn Monroe. In fact, one of his last plays was right here in Chicago called Finishing the Picture at the Goodman with Bob Falls.
Who else is in this production?
Yeah, I do want to mention, because I'm very proud and happy to work with this cast.
Are they happy and proud to be working with you?
You'd have to ask them.
I think we can all.
Yeah, I think we can guess based on the reception I get here. No, but I want to just mention Gina Phillips, Brian Kravitz, Ashley John. Brian Kravitz. Yeah, this is his mother lives next door. She's always peeking out the window looking at.
Okay.
Ashley John Young, I'm sorry. Manny Sevilla, Evan McQuiston. McQuiston, I'm sorry. Erica Messini and Jeannie Skurik and Michael Applebaum. Oh, everybody does a great job.
Big cast. We've
gelled very well. It's a fun cast to be in, and there are some really dramatic moments. And this is my second. The last play I did was The Crucible by Arthur Miller, and now I'm doing All My Sons. So I'm becoming something of a Arthur Miller aficionado.
Yeah, very nice.
It's fun.
This is running, you said, just a limited run.
Yeah, so we have a show today, actually, at 2:30 at, as I said, the Greenhouse Theater at 2257 North Lincoln. You can go to warehousetheatercompany.com for tickets. We also then have shows next weekend on June 7th at 7:30, June 8th at 7:30, and then we close on June 9th, once again on Sunday, at 2:30. Steve! Where's Ernie?
All My Sons.
All My Sons.
Is the name of your show.
Yes. Warehouse Theater Company at the Greenhouse Theater in Chicago.
Find out what else is going on in theater in Chicago. The Weekend Theater is coming up next. 10:39 is the correct time. Set your Boulevard watches now. I don't even know where that came from.
No, that's a reference. Talk about that brain. You said stuff is hidden in your brain.
I am terrified of what is inside my brain.
Boulevard Watch.
Let's do it like this. 10:39, Dean Richards Boulevard Watch time.
Dicker and Dicker of Beverly Hills.
Time for the week in theater. What's going on stage in Chicago? We just learned about the production that Jim Toronto is starring in. Is that correct to say you're starring in the show?
Yeah, I do have the lead role, Joe Keller, I guess.
So,
but it's an ensemble.
Yeah, Mr. Thespian over here is starring. But other things that are coming up, and in particular, I wanted to mention this one thing that's going on, because Father's Day is just a couple of Sundays from now, and I thought what would be a cool thing to do for Dad is to take him to see a show. Now, we've got plenty of kind of cool shows that are going on in Chicago, but see if this doesn't kind of ring a bell for a father show. A Father's Day weekend at the Rhapsody Theater with a magical twist to it, a production which features magic. I think that's something that would be especially interesting for a dad Ricardo Rosencrantz is the owner of the Rhapsody Theater here in Chicago and is also their resident physician magician, and is on the line with us. Ricardo, good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Dean. So happy to be here with you today.
So tell us about this. This is such an interesting idea, a show that's called Ridiculous, starring David Williamson, who is a Disney Cruise Line entertainer, who is going to be making an appearance here in Chicago over the Father's Day weekend. Tell us more about that.
Yes, Dean. Well, so the Rhapsody Theater is a new theater. It opened a couple of years ago. It's what used to be the main stage in Rogers Park, Morse Avenue. And I have turned the space, even though we do all sorts of things, I've turned the space into a home for long format magic shows. Magic shows of for performers that have a 75 to 90 minute show, and they can really tell a beautiful story. They can really unravel their shows. That's what I do. And I've been bringing the best of the best for residencies. David's already here. He's here for the entire month. David Williamson, as he likes to say, was last in Chicago in 1903. Not the year, the show, which was a sort of circus-based show. He was the ringmaster. He also tours the world doing the Illusionists. You know, he's one of these. And he is, par excellence, considered by magicians, the best comedy magician around. He is incredibly funny and incredibly talented.
Wasn't he also on America's Got Talent and the CW show? What was it called? Master Illusions?
Yes, of course.
I mean, he's been featured on a lot of television shows.
David is amazing, and he is mayhem. I took extra insurance for the theater. he's really, really funny. Funny, and lovely. Disney Cruises loved him. He is actually one of the most beloved and sought after magicians for them for their cruises. But so he can do an amazing show for hits every generation. Something for the 25 to 45 year olds on a date night. Something for couples who want to come and see great productions in theater. Something for all the family. And so the show is called Ridiculous. And that is sort of a theme for the show, how ridiculous our lives and the world can be and how wonderful it is for us to get together and get some wonder and illusion and fun in our lives. And he tells us a little bit about his story. That's the thing that we do at the Rhapsody is we give these performers all the tools so that they can have an amazing solo show. So that weekend, even though he's the whole month, that weekend we're doing something special. Because magic is something that can be shared by multiple generations. So father and son, father and daughter, yeah. Father and children. Every dad that comes gets a deck of cards and gets a book with 101 magic tricks.
Oh, that's fun.
So they can basically, and there will be a couple of other little surprises.
Yeah,
so that everybody leaves with something they can share beyond the fun weekend.
I don't know why this just strikes me as such a dad thing. I mean, I don't see a lot of people like dragging their dads to go see Music Man or Mamma Mia.
Death Becomes Her.
Yeah. You know, like traditional musicals, dads would say, oh, please, if you want to give me a gift, don't make me go to see. Nothing against those shows. They're all great shows, right. But not really what you would call a dad kind of show, but a show about magic. Just seems like it's just seems.
Well, magic is universal.
I think so, but Ricardo, doesn't it seem like there's been a resurgence in live magic shows in the Chicago area in the last year or so?
Well, we are Chicago is the hotspot in the world of magic. Everybody's talking about us, the city. You've got Dennis at the Magic Parlor. You've got the Lounge. And, you know, several other magicians performing in different little places, and dare I say us. And, you know, we've now created, we are a theater. I just had a very famous world-class magician, Joshua Jay, who posted to the magicians, he said, the Rhapsody Theater is the most amazing place to perform a magic show in the universe, he said. And so now we are probably the only theater in the world that has this full capability for magicians, but the thing is, there's this beautiful ecosystem here in Chicago. There always was in the 20s, 30s, 40s. The last big show that Harry Houdini did in 1926 before he passed away was at the Prince Theater here in Chicago. There were many beautiful, amazing magic stores here in Chicago, and it is coming back.
Well, the great Marshall Brodeen had a magic club out in the suburbs back in the day, and of course, you know Marshall from TV Magic Cards and WGN, and
WGN, of course, Wizzo,
and you know the whole deal. I mean, he was very much into the whole magic scene.
I credit this resurgence on my mentor, who was a beautiful, wonderful man by the name of Eugene Berger, who was a wonderful magician. You wouldn't know him, but all the magicians knew him. I was lucky enough to learn from him. And he planted these seeds with all of these different magicians. Dennis can tell you that he studied with Eugene. The people who run the Magic Lounge all studied with Eugene. I studied with Eugene. And so this generation is here because he planted all these seeds. And I tell you, there is now such a thing as magical tourism. I'm in the middle this weekend of a magic festival here at the theater where we have had about 50 magicians who've come here and they're learning. We've been teaching. We've been having a bunch of different shows. And
how many rabbits are running around with hats around your place?
Way too many. Yeah. Way too many. And
doves.
And, you know,
a lot of doves.
A lot of doves flying around.
A lot of flowers popping out of nowhere.
And wands, right?
Right. Well, the
women's torsos walking around without a body.
Yeah, cutting thirds. Yes. Sometimes the tricks work. That. Sometimes they don't. The show itself is called Ridiculous with David Williamson. It's running through June 30th. But for the Father's Day weekend, especially, this could be something really, really fun. Because there are performances on Friday evening, Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock, then again at 7:30. You can check the website for more information, Ricardo, which is what?
So it's rhapsodytheater.com, rhapsodytheater.com. And of course, there's a show on Sunday, on Father's Day proper.
Okay, very
good. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Good deal, good deal. Sounds like a lot of fun, and good to talk to you, Ricardo Rosenkrantz, the owner of Rhapsody Theater. I hope you have a great Sunday today. Doctor, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dean.
All right. We'll tell you about a couple of more things going on in theater in Chicago this week in a minute. And also going on stage in Chicago for the month of June, it's Pride Month. There are all kinds of Pride events which are taking place, and Pride productions which are taking place. Amongst them, a production at the Straw Dog Theater, putting on Oscar Wilde's The Importance of Being Earnest. And joining us on the phone right now are Dusty Brown and Jordan Ratliff, who adapted the play and also the associate director of the play. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for having us.
Now, it's a pleasure to have you with us to talk about some of the things that are going on for Pride Month. Dusty, since you adapted the original Oscar Wilde classic, why don't you talk a little about what this particular production is that Straw Dog is putting on?
Sure. Well, and I've got to give full credit. I helped Elizabeth Swanson, the director of the piece, with cutting the script, taking the original text and trimming it down a little bit, focusing it for, our modern times, and also changing some of it out. It's got a lot of references to people and places in London, England from the time, from the late 1800s. And so Elizabeth and I really wanted to recreate a lot of those places, both in Chicago and the surrounding area, and update to people and places you might have heard of around Chicago. So there's some fun local culture references in there. But then a lot of the adaptation has continued through Jordan and Elizabeth's work with the cast in rehearsals. So they have been going at it for the past few weeks and really figuring out how to give specific cultural identities to all of these characters. And Jordan, you probably have more to say on that front.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, this is such a fun adaptation that we're doing of this classic piece. This show, like Dusty said, has a lot of references to old 1800s England, and we've adapted that to fit into 2024 modern-day Chicago and Michigan. And it's been so much fun not just adapting the text, but reconfiguring these characters and where they exist in the context of today, and how what does it mean if we time travel this story into today, and what can that look like?
Like for example, don't give away any spoilers or anything. But for example, what would be some of the like a local reference that you've put in, something to kind of Chicagoize the story a little bit?
Go
ahead, Jordan.
Okay, yeah. So one of the places that this story takes place now is in Boys Town, Chicago, in North Halsted. And there's lots of references to that culture and a lot of the gay bars that are around the area, just to remind you that we are in Chicago, and this is a very local Chicago-feeling type of adaptation. There's references to local streets that you would have heard of, references to the Loop, references to just general Midwestern places that are very easy to recognize, that I think a lot of folks will resonate with and catch on to.
Yeah, and Dusty, talk to me a little bit about how this is becomes more relevant now in the world in which we're living, where things have seemed to have taken steps back in terms of acceptance of LGBTQ plus people and issues and trans issues and so forth, of identity and acceptance, and people trying to find a truth to themselves right now. I imagine that must resonate greatly in this as well.
Absolutely. I mean, for myself as a young person, I grew up queer in the Deep South. And Oscar Wilde was one of the first queer writers that I really encountered and came to know. And it was very revelatory for me as a young person growing up to realize that, there's art and media and culture that is representative and that represents a broad spectrum of queerness that I didn't have a lot of access to in my early years. So, we are already starting with really one of the first queer writers, or at least of, Western canon. And it is been fascinating to dive in and really take a play that has traditionally not been, it has some very clear queer undertones, but really to try and take those and then work with the cast to really bring them to the forefront so that at this point, in this production, every character is queer. Every character has some level of queer identity. And so to really explore all of the intersectionality, whether that is around, strictly gay relationships or lesbian relationships, trans relationships, transitioning itself. So there's a lot of that we're working with. And then also tying that in, there's a heavy theme. I mean, obviously the play Importance of Being Earnest is about duplicity to some degree, is about the masks that we put up. And I think that Elizabeth and Jordan have done a lot of work with the cast, particularly Jannard, who plays Ernest or Jack in the play, to really play with how we deal with kind of duplicitous or double personalities in our modern world, especially with social media.
Yeah, the production is going to be running all during Pride Month. It'll start June the 6th and run until the 30th at the Rivendell Theater on North Ridge, 5779 North Ridge. And here's the thing, tickets are free to this production. I love that Rivendell does that. It's open to the public, but you do have to make advance reservations if you're going to go see it. So if this sounds like something that might be interesting to you, go to strawdog.org, strawdog.org. to get more information of this adaptation of The Importance of Being Earnest. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And happy Pride Month to you both.
Thank you so much. Happy Pride Month.
Thank you. Dusty Brown, Jordan Ratliff with Straw Dog, and their production of The Importance of Being Earnest. This is such a busy time in theater in Chicago. There's so much that's going on. So in this next half hour of the program, we're going to dig into each other's brains.
Wow, it's going to be a lot of space there.
Oh, boy.
He's going to hear a lot of echoes.
Yeah, listen for a lot of, hello there.
What was the song that you hadn't heard in 50 years and you ended up singing every word?
Well, I'll tell you in a minute. But that's what started this. My thinking about this is that I heard a song that I haven't heard easily in 50 years. Easily.
And this was this a well-known song?
Yes, it was. It's a top 10 song. It was a top 10 song.
And you haven't heard it in 50 years?
I'm sure that I haven't heard it in 50 years.
Wow.
And it came on, and I started, you know how you're in the car, and you start singing along with something, and it's like, I know all the words to this. Where was that packed in the scary place called Dean Richards' brain?
The same place where you made the Bull of a Watch reference.
Well, and during the break, Jim and I were talking, and we started talking about building models, but not model cars, because my brother loved model cars, so naturally I had to like something else. So I started building the Universal Monsters.
Oh, I love those.
Remember they, Shwani, do you remember those?
Mm-hmm.
Wolfman and Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they had two versions. They had the regular version or the glow-in-the-dark version, where some of the hands and the face were glow-in-the-dark. Yeah. You can buy either version.
Andy, did you have any stuff like, I mean, any, not models necessarily, but like something, because we started talking about this, and mm-hmm. then like suddenly we're like throwing up all this detail, stuff that's packed in your brain that you don't even, you can't even fathom that something is in there.
Yeah, we had the action figures, and we had G.I. Joe Million Dollar Man, right. Evil Knievel, and we had the Evil Knievel motorcycle and the camper. And
who had the Kung Fu grip?
That's G.I. Joe had the Kung Fu grip. Yeah. Yeah.
I had the Evil Knievel. Remember when he jumped over the Snake River Canyon?
Yep. Yeah.
I had the whatever that thing was called that crashed.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had the motorcycle thing. You could crank, and then let it go, and it would scuff up the kitchen floor. My mom would be a little upset with us, but it was kind of cool to watch it crash into the back door.
Yeah, because you made a little ramp for him, too.
Exactly.
But, like, you start talking about stuff, or, I mean, have you, Shwani, you're such a music head.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had experiences
that? Oh, yeah, definitely.
A song, and you're, like, I actually had a moment of, whoa, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Where did this song come from?
Yep. Yep, I've had that myself, sure, a lot of times.
All right, I want to find out which songs are stuck in your brain. If we have to use a sledgehammer to get them out, I'm not opposed to that.
Okay.
We'll talk about that coming up next. 11:12 Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN.
Well, that thing kicks in.
This is Herman's Hermits.
I never heard that song.
Peter Noon, Herman's Hermits. It was a top 10 song in 1966.
Wow.
Shwani, do you remember this? You're the resident 60s.
Do you remember this, Dave?
No, I don't. I honestly don't.
I finally don't found a song that Shwani doesn't know.
I don't remember.
I mean, you've got Mrs. Brown.
Mrs.
You've got
Brown.
A kind of hush.
How about Henry VIII?
Yeah,
Henry VIII. Yeah. I am Henry
But this
VIII.
One was this a top was, 10.
This was one of their biggest songs, Leaning on the Lamppost.
Leaning on the Lamppost.
And I'm, listening to some music, and this came on. And I started singing.
Wow.
So I'm in the car like an idiot singing this. And then like, bam, the reality hit me. That's been stuck in my head for all this time.
Over 50 years.
And what?
1966. We're talking 58 years now, friend.
Yeah. Doesn't make it any better, Schwanny.
No, I know. No.
Not make it any.
And boom, I mean,
doesn't
like,
make me any prouder.
And instant, like, did you instantly recognize it, or did it like take you time to go? Oh wait, oh
no. When the song came out, I was like, oh,
yeah. Little lamppost.
Do wacky, do wacky, do wacky.
Do they say do wacky? Do
yes, of course they do.
Of course they do.
Of course.
Why would I think they wouldn't?
Yeah. But it's not even my. It's just. It's the phenomena of what is packed away in our craniums. That's the part that I find most interesting with this, because you know, anyone who's dealt with people with Alzheimer's or dementia, the doctors will tell you that music makes people respond, that that's one of the last things that people forget are lyrics and melodies and things like that. And that's certainly what the
you know what
with
I was thinking. I was trying to think, and what really pops into my what I find I get those aha moments are not so much songs, but I'm amazed at sometimes how I can remember the complete words and melodies to old TV commercials.
Sure,
like A is for Apple, J is for Jacks, Cinnamon Toasty Apple Jacks, eight great vitamins. That's a fact. Yeah. Start them out with Apple Jacks.
My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-A-R.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't heard Apple Jacks in 50 years.
Yeah.
And boom, you know. So,
Schwanny, have you had revelatory moments like this?
Yeah, I actually have. I
hope yours is more embarrassing than mine.
It probably is. Yes. Yes.
Do you remember? My song could not be a bigger dork song.
No. Well, yeah. No. This one, I think, is right up there. Do you remember the duo of Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart?
Sure,
of course.
I wonder what she's doing tonight.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. They wrote a lot of the Monkees songs.
Did they?
Yeah, they were a very popular.
Yeah, that one came on, and I found myself, you know, going, if I had told her that I loved her, she would have stayed till who knows when.
But it's amazing though, isn't it? I mean, to remember like a melody or something. But that you remember the specific lyrics and where to pause in the song.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you stopped when you were singing that lamppost. You stopped when the break came.
Yeah.
And then you knew exactly
when to come back
to come back in.
And I knew the do wacky do wacky do.
Wacky do.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, the Scooby Dooby Doo, where are you?
Yeah. I mean, those are all right. Oh, wait a minute, I got two of them going at the same time.
Has producer Jack left the room yet?
He's watching the Cubs game.
So I wonder what she's doing.
Oh, uh-oh. Karaoke Schwan.
Karaoke theater.
That one, not too long ago, I had pretty much the same experience that you did, Dean. I'm going, whoa. I remember this. I think I was in sixth grade when that song was a hit.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see if it has the year.
Yeah. And what was it called?
I wonder what she's doing tonight.
Yeah, I don't remember that one either.
Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart.
Well before my time. Yeah.
Oh, come on.
That one was. Jim and.
I wasn't born until.
Jim and Andy are younger than us, Schwanny. I don't know if you know.
Well, you're older than me.
Who?
My next newsman, I'm going to make sure, is much older than I am. Who, by the way, will be starting next week.
Well, now we have to ask Andy if he's ever had a moment like this.
Yeah, I've had moments, especially from like the late 70s, early 80s. There was a song on my iTunes that I forgot that I had on there that kind of a rock and roll song was by a band called the Tarney Spencer Band. And the song was called No Time to Lose.
Oh, God. Great song.
And it was just one of those. I heard it, and I heard the first few guitar licks. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember this one.
One that goes.
I think I had it. This one, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the old Tarney Spencer Band.
No Time to Lose, No Time to Lose.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah,
here we go.
Every day,
hot
girl. That's from like 79. And that came on, and I knew every word. And then there's that song. I think it was 1980 by the Kings, This beat goes on, switching to glide.
It's like
that song that kind of went into one another. And
this beat goes. Oh,
it was like 1980 all over again, hearing it for the 55th time that year. And just knowing all the words.
Switching to glide.
Yeah. So I can commiserate with you guys on that.
Somebody else on the text line, 312 area code, Dean, I'm right with you. I sang along as if I just heard it yesterday.
But the same, the lamping, the lamppost,
the lamppost song.
You are going to you're going to start a revival of Herman's. Have Peter Noon on next week.
Somebody 630 area code. I could have named that song in one note.
Wow.
See,
leaning on a lamppost.
Now it's more than the song. I mean, the text line right now is jammed with. Here's someone, Wichita lineman.
Oh, yeah.
Glenn Campbell.
Which is such a good song.
Who wrote that? Who wrote
Jimmy
it?
Jimmy Webb.
Jimmy Webb.
I'm a lineman for the county, and I ride the main road. The text line is just
how you
loaded.
Doing in there, Jack?
Jack and I are going to go out and get a beer here.
And I hear you through the wire.
Jack's busy working on his resume right now. Yeah.
just updating it.
And I need you more than want you.
And I want you for all time. Okay. The Wichita lineman is still on the
Okay, so here's my point. There's a million songs. Everyone's relating to this in their own way with whatever song. But these are all things that are packed into our brain, my point.
Yeah.
Is my point.
Well, what's remarkable is just the recollection. All of a sudden, boom, there it is.
Well, both my parents had dementia toward the end of their lives, and I asked the doctor, what's going on? And he said, it's like... because my dad could remember people from what he hadn't seen as a kid. He could describe them down to a T, like he just saw him yesterday. Right. And I said, how is this able that doesn't know what day it is, and yet he remembers this? And he said, those memories you made, they're filed away. And the problem is, when the dementia happens, the current world, you're not soaking that information in anymore.
Yeah.
So what's happening to you is just going by. But when you were young, everything, you were a sponge. And you just took everything
isn't
that, in.
Isn't it amazing, though? I mean, this song, this Leaning on a Lamppost song. I get it that I was a kid and it was a sponge. But there's been so much other stuff that's gone into the sponge since
right.
then.
Right. Yeah.
How is that still there?
Well,
how is that information?
It's been waiting in that file for you to click on it again.
Please. So when you first heard the music come again?
Yeah.
Could you remember where you were the first time you heard it?
What I focused on, I don't know if it was the first time that I heard it,
right.
But I focused myself in my bedroom. At our home that we lived in the South Side then, doing my homework with the transistor radio on, and my little Shawnee still has this, the little earbud, the transistor radio.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. The little white ones that used to kill your ear.
Yeah, you wonder why we have hearing aids now. It's because of that. And those Koss headphones we were talking about earlier.
Oh, that was later, high school, first year in college.
Yeah. But when my mom had dementia and Alzheimer's, I asked the doctor about it also because she loved Tony Bennett and would respond to Tony Bennett songs. And
oh, yeah.
Even though she would have just repeated the same thing to me 20 times, she would sing along with Tony Bennett with the same pacing and pauses and all those. It's like there is something that's crazy. That's amazing. And the doctor explained it to me, and he said, photographs will do the same thing.
Mm.
So I went and downloaded all our family photo albums on my phone. So when I would go to see her in skilled nursing or in the hospital, wherever she happened to be, she loved to scroll through my phone and look at old pictures from the 1930s, the 1940s.
And she identify the people?
She could tell you who was wearing what at a wedding.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, that's Aunt Nikki's wedding. I was wearing a blue dress and blah, blah, blah. And like 5 minutes previous, she asked me why her pudding hadn't come yet from the from the nurse.
Yeah, it's a crazy. And we don't even scratch the surface on what our brain is. You know, we don't even know half of what's going on.
Yeah. Annette, how about you? Good morning. You're on WGN. Hi, Annette.
Oh, hi. I wanted to join the conversation. I was on a trip to New Orleans, and we took the riverboat cruise on the Mississippi. So we get off the ship, and as we're getting off, they start playing the Battle of New Orleans with Johnny Horton song, which, again, I haven't heard in 50 years. I sang the entire song for everybody getting off the boat.
And that's sort of a talky song.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily lyrics. That's like a storytelling song.
Give us a few bars. Give us a few bars, Annette.
Oh, in 1840, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. Right. We took a little one. And the British kept a coming. We fired our guns, and the British kept a coming.
There was a while ago. We fired once more.
Look
at you know it too.
Down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. I was the free entertainment on that tour.
Oh man, it's amazing though, isn't it? I mean, songs aside. Isn't it amazing what's stuck in our brains? What's packed in there someplace?
Yes.
Glad you called up, Annette.
Thank you. It's just a great conversation.
Thanks for the serenade.
Appreciate your call, and I loved all your beach movies with Frankie Avalon, by the way. Thank you for the call. I appreciate that. Yeah, very, the whole thing is just very interesting to me this week.
I like how it kicks in.
One,
two, three.
I'm leaning on the house at the corner. And you're all very welcome for the earwig today, by the way, also. All right, 11:28 is the time. The phone lines.
Oh my gosh! You hit a little exploded
with people who have had similar experiences that I did with this stupid leaning on the lamp. Why couldn't I have had like a cooler song though? But the epitome of a bubblegum song from the mid-60s.
Well, you could have had Sugar or something like that by the Archies.
I could have had something from Jefferson Starship or
That makes it even better because it is an obscure song. Anybody could say Sugar, the worst of that.
But even of Herman's Hermit songs. And I like British Invasion songs from back then. I'm a huge Beatles fan, but, name the British Invasion song. I like them. Herman's Hermits were part of all that. Why couldn't I have picked a cooler Herman's Hermit song?
Because you didn't hear it. Keep listening to the radio. You'll find another obscure one you haven't heard in 50 years. That one just happened to hit you.
I like Schwanee's song of
"Wonder What She's Doing
Wonder
Tonight."
What she's doing tonight.
Yeah. Yep.
There were some great songs in that whole era. There,
cool.
It was a Renaissance time. The sad part is that was we're going to look back on that in 50 years and say that was like Leonardo da Vinci and Michelangelo. That was a certain time. Space and time where there was just this flow of creativity. Yep. That's
true. We still sound like we're 1,000 years old.
Well, we are.
We've got a fairly nice week coming up.
The clouds are moving out, and seasonal temperatures, according to meteorologist Tim Joyce at WGN-TV, 80s for tomorrow, and a little warmer. So, summer is definitely on the way.
Yeah.
Boy, that rain was...
How about yesterday?
Wow. That was just really a mess.
Yeah.
And it was pouring sometime.
You know what it was? It was raining cats and dogs.
Oh, boy.
let me tell you how I know that. Because I stepped in a poodle.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Jeez.
Wow.
Henny Youngman wouldn't even tell that joke.
I think that may be where I heard it.
And Google that.
Ask Jack, do you know who Henny Youngman is?
Who's Henny Youngman? Who's Henny Youngman, Uncle D?
He was a pitcher.
Not a belly itcher.
Oh, good one. Nice.
I think I heard that joke when I was in second or third grade.
And it was still old.
It's raining cats and dogs. I just stepped in a poodle.
It's a major market station. That's the jokes you're telling.
That's what's on. Happy 100th anniversary, WGN.
That was the first joke that was told on WGN 100 years ago.
It's the monkey scopes trial. It's the...
Ain't gonna rain no more.
The coverage of the Berlin Wall falling and my It's Raining Cats and Dogs joke. The history of WGN. So coming up this week on WGN TV Morning News, we've got some pretty cool stuff for you. I mentioned that we're going to have the two actors that play the Righteous Brothers in the Carole King musical, Beautiful, the Carole King musical out at the Paramount. They stop the show when they do You've Really? Lost That Love and Feeling. I mean, all the music is great in the show. But these two guys come out. I'm sorry, I can't remember the actors' names.
But right. You remember the words to Laming on a Lamppost.
In 50 years, ask me the names
of those two guys.
And maybe I'll remember. But they do an amazing job doing the Righteous Brothers. They're going to be on with us this coming week. We've got lots of huge A-list names that are going to be on with us this week. Carlos Santana is going to be on with me this week. So we're looking forward to some big shows.
He's trippy, man. Have you ever talked to him?
Many times.
Yeah, he's a little trippy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, many times. Be curious what's stuck in his brain.
Yeah. Or what's gone.
what's left in his brain through the years. But he's a legend.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Right?
Yeah.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
As we will hear some legends in a moment. Mike Love and Al Jardine, who, if they unpacked their brains, they'd have some pretty interesting things. We talked about their new documentary that's coming out. We're going to talk about that. And naturally, I'm going to be cooking on Wednesday.
Ah, what's on the menu?
Like I always do. This time of year, I like to be outside, but I'm going to grill a few vegetables outside to put into a cold Asian pasta salad.
Nice.
That's a pasta salad. I've made pasta salad a million times with like a traditional vinaigrette, with grilled vegetables, with stuff you might find on a charcuterie board, salamis and things like that go into a pasta salad, very traditional. But I've never made one that's like an Asian style salad, which is shredded carrots, which is grilled vegetables with sort of a sweet and sour peanut sauce.
Oh.
Cold. Served cold.
Is the sauce cold too?
Yeah. You make the whole thing and put it in the fridge.
Wow.
And let it chill. And on a a warm summer day, there's no mayonnaise or there's no creams or anything.
Yeah,
so
it can't spoil.
I think it's a little better, honestly, for a hot day.
Any bok choy in there?
There is no bok choy in my recipe, but you could certainly put, I have green onions in it, scallions, which is, and also I'm going to throw in some sauteed shrimp in there just to put a little protein in it as well. But the peanut sauce, the sweet and sour peanut sauce.
Do you make that peanut sauce yourself?
You do, and it's super easy to make.
Wow.
They sell it bottled, but it's so easy to make. Why not do it? So that's what I'm going to be cooking on Wednesday.
Nice. Has become quite the isn't that hilarious? So many people suffered from COVID, but it gave you a whole new career.
It's crazy.
Because that's where this whole thing started, that's right?
Exactly where it all started.
Was because they didn't have anything for you to do because there was no entertainment.
Well, we couldn't get any guests.
Right.
It wasn't just entertainment guests. We couldn't, how we have people on the TV morning news all the time.
Right.
Coming in and talk about a book or comedy appearance or whatever. Nobody was coming in.
Anywhere. Right.
So we had to get a little creative and, everybody was doing something a little different. A lot of the things we were doing from home back then.
Yeah.
Everybody, remember back in the, every reporter was.
Right, was at home.
Was at home.
A lot of the cooking shows, like America's Test Kitchen and stuff,
They were in their houses.
Yeah.
Because the people had to stay away from each other. So they said to me, you cook. Why don't you do a cooking
show? So did they come up to you with that idea?
They
actually came up to you.
They came to me and said, you like to cook. Why don't you do a cooking segment?
Wow.
And I said, well, cooking and cooking on TV.
It's too different, yeah.
When I make something at home, I can take my time, I can experiment. On TV, I got to get it all done in about 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So I said, well, we could try it. I said, if nothing else, it's going to be funny.
See me. You'd be like the Ray Rainer of cooking.
Burning myself and destroying things, which I've done several times, by the way. But yeah, it's taken off like crazy. People seem to like my cooking segment, and I appreciate that very much.
Yeah.
So in the summertime, you know, we try to make it seasonal, I guess you might say. We did some grilled pizzas a couple of weeks ago. We did, we're going to do some, I want to do some easy summer desserts in the next couple
of weeks. So do you test, like, so do you... Are these things that you have already made, or do you get a recipe? Does somebody, recommend something to you? Do you try it out first, or like, what's the what's your process to choose your feature?
Sometimes I just think to myself, oh, well, that would be tasty. Let me, you know, it's like totally self originated.
Oh, cool.
Just because, you know, you're thinking, oh, these things taste good together. Let me try this or that. A lot of times now people are sending me recipes that they like, that they've done, that their mothers did, that their grandmothers did. Sometimes I'll see a recipe someplace and I'll put a little spin on it. Someplace I'll do like a Dean version of something that I see. Some are just traditional things that you don't mess with certain recipes because they're traditional.
Did you cook with
your
mom?
A lot of different ways. And I do make everything ahead of time to try it to make sure that I can do it in 4 minutes,
right?
Because I have to do it in different stages, and I have to have one ready to already complete, so I can pull it out from under the table and go. And right. You know, like this, this Asian salad has to chill for 24 hours it's done.
Right.
So I have to make it, a day or two before. And in that case, actually, I like that the sauce is going to marinate with the noodles for more than 24 hours.
If you have the patience to marinate, it really does make a difference.
It does make a big difference. Yeah. It does.
So did you sit at your mom's knee, do you remember? Or you knew that your mom was a good cook and you observed her? Or did you actually, you know, get your hands dirty with her when you're
cooking?
Toward
the end, we would cook together.
Mm-hmm.
When I wanted to absorb her recipes.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, I just wanted to enjoy her
recipes. Right. So as a kid, it wasn't like you were sitting there.
Nope.
No.
No.
Yeah.
No. No. It wasn't until I was an adult and mm-hmm. she was giving me the old, I never write anything down.
Oh, one of those.
Don't know. I don't know. Why do you want to do this? I don't want to do this. But I would force her, being the loving son that I had. I don't want to be on camera. Don't put me on camera.
Social services are calling.
senior abuse.
Right.
Yeah.
He's not hitting me. He's just making me cook.
Right. He won't. Yeah, there is a spatula involved, but he's making me cook with it. So, anywho, that's the super long story of... That's what I'm going to be cooking this week.
Nice.
This coming Wednesday. In just a minute, Al Jardine and Mike Love, two of the originals of the Beach Boys, talk to me about their new Beach Boys documentary coming up. And their song Barbara Ann. But boy, think about all the great hits that they have given us through the years. From the early Hot Rod and Californian beach songs to the, I would argue, songs that changed recorded sound from the Pet Sounds album and Good Vibrations.
Good Vibrations alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. God Only Knows.
Yeah, you're going to hear in the interview that we're about to run with Mike Love and Al Jardine, they talk about how somebody, I think they said Bruce Johnston, had taken a copy of the Pet Sounds album, got it to the Beatles so they could, they heard it, and it was from Pet Sounds that the Beatles were inspired to do things like Sgt. Pepper's and, you know, start their own psychedelic.
Was a little competition because when Brian Wilson heard Rubber Soul, then he said, they're changing things. And then he did Pet Sounds, and then the Beatles went, he's changing things again.
Yeah.
And was just this nice little creative competition between the bands.
I said to the guys when I talked with them and also Frank Marshall, you're going to hear in this interview, who is the director of this new documentary that's out on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
It's simply called The Beach Boys, and it's, I think, a six-part docuseries about the making of the group, the history of the group, the behind-the-scenes stories of many of the songs. I said, you know, that about the competition between the Beatles and the Beach Boys. You guys made each other better. You know, when you have a competitor like that, each one is pushing the envelope and raising the bar a little bit, and that certainly was the case with them. Mike Love, the was one of the cousins mm-hmm. of the Wilson brothers. Al Jardine was one of their friends, and we did a nice little Zoom chat recently with them about their documentary. I don't know how many times I've seen you guys here in Chicago at different venues around the area, but Mike, Al, do you have you know, Chicago stories of playing here?
Which one would you like to respond?
let me start with you, Mike.
Well, we're going to be in Ravinia, out in Highland Park,
yep.
Just after the July, during the final part of the July 4th weekend. That'll be the Sunday. And we've had a history of going there year after year, sometimes with guests and sometimes by ourselves. But, yeah, we have had fantastic memories and association with Chicago, in addition to the fact that I married a girl from Chicago, Jacqueline, and she was formerly a nurse and specialized in pulmonary. And so she doesn't, anyway, she doesn't, that's irrelevant, but it's very relevant to me. Anyway,
yeah, it's exactly. Never a bad idea to have somebody with a medical background and around you.
Pulmonary, actually, smoking at young ages leads to, you know, less time on earth, and we've unfortunately felt that with my cousin Carl, you know.
Yeah.
Al, how about for you? Any memories, specific memories of being in Chicago?
Yeah, I enjoy playing McCormick Place the first time, before it burned
wow.
down. And then
yeah.
before it burned down, yes.
Enjoyed the second time. So, yeah, it was kind of, it was really fun. I mean, that was a hell of a
great crowds, great
crowd,
audience.
And we have some great fans there, and a shout-out to Linda Stearns, one of my very favorite fans.
Can you guys talk to me a little bit about the genius of Brian Wilson and what he brought to the mix in the early days, and then, you know, in many ways revolutionizing recorded sound with, you know, some of his ideas that he had?
Yeah, well, we were just talking about
go ahead.
Studio 3 in Western Reporters here, where we happen to be, well, pretty close by. And I was telling Mike, I asked him, Mike, do you remember singing All Summer Long here? So, title of one of our biggest albums.
Sure.
And he said, yeah, I sure do. And I said, that's the place where you decided you wanted to have your own microphone. Because we couldn't stop laughing. We were having so much fun.
Yeah, we did have a great time. And Brian and I, as teenagers, he would drive over to my house in his Nash Rambler, and we'd get kicked out of my house because my dad had to get up so early to go to work at Love Sheet Metal. And we would play the radio, and we'd sing along, and we used to crack each other up. You know, the sense of humor there was unbelievable. And so, you know, those memories are very precious. And it was all about family and friends that got together and for the love of music, actually, because we weren't getting paid anything, but we loved to sing and harmonize.
Yeah, and one of the things that we discovered I discovered in making the doc was that there were really two groups. There was Brian staying at home and writing and coming up, creating the music while the guys were, in my opinion, having fun out on the road.
Fun.
Too much fun.
That's right.
And then they'd come back and they'd go in the studio, and the guys would then add the harmonies and the voices to what Brian and Mike, the lyrics, to what Brian had created back here. So there were really two versions of the Beach Boys,
mm-hmm.
the home version and the touring version.
When Pet Sounds was being created in Good Vibrations, were you all on board with that? Or, you know, did some of you think, wow, this is not what we do. This is so different from the Beach Boys sound.
The people who thought that was Capitol Records, because they couldn't understand how to go from I get around and fun, and be true to your school and California girls to I just wasn't made for these times, God only knows, and, you know, the rest of the Pet Sounds album. But there's some beautiful things on the Pet Sounds album, a lot of them. In fact, Sir Paul McCartney said such beautiful, wonderful things about God Only Knows and the Pet Sounds album. In fact, there was a party for Carl Wilson's birthday in Malibu one year, and Paul McCartney came, and he said to Brian, I was driving through Mulholland Drive with tears in my eyes listening to Pet Sounds. When are you going to give us another Pet Sounds? That's Paul McCartney regarding Brian.
Yeah, I could definitely see why he would feel that. And one of the things that I took out of this that's so interesting is that the so-called rivalry between you guys and the Beatles kind of made each other better. You know, having such a formidable competitor made you all at the top of your game. Al, do you think that was the case?
Yeah. For sure. Brian loved Rubber Soul. I know he started listening to that early on. We were in Australia, I think, when it was New Zealand and Australia tour. And they said, hey, this band's come to the States, and they're called the Beatles. And this is their first song. And so they played for us up in the control room there in New Zealand, Auckland, I guess. I Want to Hold Your Hand, you remember?
Wow, yeah.
And I thought, what a bunch of ragtag singers they are. I thought, what the hell, who's this, you know, all that hair? Well, was I ever wrong?
But, I think that it wasn't really a rivalry, but a healthy competition where they inspired each other to top, and I don't think we'd have Sgt. Pepper's if we didn't have Pet Sounds.
It was not a rivalry, but a mutual admiration, actually.
Schwandy, I don't want to brag. Every newscast has been on time today on the program.
Well, that is right where we should be.
Go ahead and brag. See how long that lasts.
Go ahead and brag.
I figure a couple of weeks.
Call me on June 28th. We'll see what it is.
Go back to my. I like 4th of July weekend. The bosses will all be out of town.
There you go. Yeah, the noon newscast starts at 12:10.
Shawnee, what's your favorite summertime food? Andy, what's your favorite summertime food?
Wow. Okay, who's going to answer first here?
You go ahead.
Go ahead, Andy.
I defer to you.
You defer to me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Andy has barely talked on the show today. I've been worried about Andy. Are you all right?
I'm fantastic.
Everything all right?
Everything is great.
I'm going to go with ice cream.
What kind?
Oh, just about any flavor. And
No way.
I am not fussy. All right. I'll narrow it down. I'll tell you, the original rainbow cone. And
you know, they just opened a location in Wicker Park.
I know they did. Yeah.
Didn't you mention a couple weeks ago that they have a new flavor?
A bunch of new flavors, right?
Rainbow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They have three new flavors, I would be cheating on the original.
I like bubblegum ice cream.
Ugh.
Ugh. You don't like that?
Oh, too sweet.
Is it? That's probably why I like it so much.
Mr. Diabetic. He's going to do the Jardians dance.
All three of us.
Oh, please.
All three of us at the same time went blech.
Oh, I've lowered my AC.
What about, no, okay, well, we'll make it a little more universal. Strawberries, good. That'll always work.
I like a fresh strawberry ice cream.
Yeah.
Can't beat that.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. Ice cream and a very, very close second. A good hot dog or a good brat.
I love a
summer
good,
food.
Good brat with the cheese. I like the cheese injected into the brat.
No.
I do.
For me,
I'll pass on that, yeah.
Brat boiled in beer first.
Ooh.
Then grilled. Then a brown mustard and some caramelized onions.
There you go.
You got to have the brown mustard. Mm-hmm. Got to have the brown
mustard. Have that on the hot dog, too.
Yeah.
Andy?
You know, as a kid that was growing up allergic to chocolate, whenever the Good Humor Man would come around, it was a little difficult for me. But I like the strawberry shortcake little.
Eclair bars.
Yeah, with the strawberry and the little flecks of vanilla and all that kind of stuff. That screams summer. A dreamsicle of any kind.
Yeah. Can you still get those?
Oh, I've been craving a dreamsicle lately.
And the bomb pop.
Oh, the bomb pop.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. What's a bomb pop?
That's the red, white, and blue one that's kind of shaped like a bomb.
Oh, yeah. It looked like a rocket.
Yeah.
Like a
rocket.
It came out like a, you know, because of the bicentennial a lot of times.
So I remember those.
But, you know, Wendy's has a Dreamsicle Frosty.
They do now, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Limited time, so get going.
How have we not scammed some of that to get, get 2 or 3 gallons of that up here on the show?
Yeah. The Dreamsicle, the orange push-up. The little
those push-ups were great.
Love the push-ups.
Love push-ups.
That's all summery.
I saw like a family taking a walk yesterday, a mom and dad clearly and 3 kids. The kids all had, what do you call those things where it's like pure sugar in a plastic tube? They're frozen.
Oh, pixie stick.
They're
oh.
frozen. Oh. Frozen, and then like you you squeeze it up.
Flavor ice?
I don't know. I don't know.
No, I know what. I remember.
But you know what I'm talking about?
The little popsicles that you freeze in the little
plastic. It's a popsicle that comes in the plastic tube that you cut the top.
It's a plastic pouch, right.
Yeah, flavor ice it was called.
And I saw these 3 kids just enjoying them.
Like the blue one. I used to like the blue one.
Yeah.
There was a
blue one was good.
There was a cherry.
Cherry one.
There was a lime one, yeah.
What a good old-fashioned popsicle.
Love them. Those are good, too.
Oh, yeah.
Those are definitely good.
Can you go, like, dude, I mean, I don't even know. Like, remember you'd go to a corner store and they would have the frozen, the refrigerator, and they would have all the different.
I see those at
Do they still have those?
Yeah. I see them at,
they still have those.
Convenience stores, but we used to go to the corner drugstore.
Yeah.
And get, I would get a root beer popsicle.
Yeah, they would have popsicles
root beer popsicles.
You got to like the Chipwich though. Remember the you don't like the Chipwich?
Got a little messy when it was kind of
turn it
warm
down.
Out there, yeah.
It's not my favorite. If I had a choice between a root beer popsicle and a Chipwich, no question.
Really?
I haven't had a root beer popsicle in I don't know how long.
How about a root beer float?
Ugh. Root beer float?
Black cow?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did you used to do Slurpees? From 7-Eleven?
Yes.
Yeah, I like to do the Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And then spritz in a little cherry.
Yeah, you mixed it in. Yeah, it was like a cherry
Make
Coke.
Your own creation. Yeah.
Me too, Mr. Fancy.
Those are good. Pick up a pack of baseball cards and then go get a Slurpee. Oh.
With the bad gum. Pink gum the that had that
gum.
White
powder.
That powder on it. What was that powder for? Was it so it wouldn't stick?
Wouldn't stick to
the
card?
Yeah.
Probably was.
So we were eating that.
Oh, yeah.
It was there so it wouldn't stick to the cardboard. I'm sure that was healthy.
Stuck to your ribs and you swallowed it accidentally.
We wonder why we all have dietary issues now. listen to the volumes of junk that we ate when we were kids.
And that gum, it was like, when you broke it, it was like a shard. Going through your throat, it didn't get soft.
Well, how about for a healthier treat? You know, grapes are great this time of year.
Especially
if you put one in the freezer.
I was going to say, frozen grapes are fantastic.
So good.
Rainier cherries. Have you ever had Rainier cherries? They're very expensive, and they come only a time. But they're from Seattle, and they're the best cherries you ever tasted. Rainier cherries.
You know what I like almost as much as a root beer popsicle? Frozen banana.
Mm-hmm. Chocolate. Oh, remember
chocolate
those?
Frozen banana?
Chocolate-covered frozen banana.
With the stick that was... It was always kind of weird when you got it because it was slanted on the stick.
Right. I would trade anybody this radio show for a chocolate banana right now. You get so panicked if there's a moment of silence on
it. Who, me?
Yeah.
Because you always brag about what a tight board you run.
I like.
You like a little dead air?
I like. No, there are moments of dramatic pause.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay. I didn't know if you were. I didn't know you were doing that on purpose.
I picture all of Chicago when I do that.
Just
going, ooh, what magical thing does he have next? But I will say that when you're here, Elton Jim Toronto's here because he has a play that's opening. That has opened.
Is that why?
You distract me so much when we're off here. You're talking to me when I'm supposed to be paying attention.
All right, I will not talk to you ever again.
Yeah.
Which I have a feeling is going to happen anyway.
Listen anyway. Boy, the phone line. We have blown up the phone line several times here today.
Wow, nice job.
With, crucial issues that face the nation.
Gaza.
right.
convicted felon running for president, and popsicles.
And summer favorites, and leaning on the lamppost lyrics that are stuck in your head. People, yeah, this, I mean, this just taps into a, this taps into a thing, you know, that people, people, I have struck a note here on the root beer popsicle.
The root beer pop, really? That's getting the, that's your biggest tally so
far. I'm sorry, there is nothing more delicious. Schwanee, are you with me on this, Schwanee? There's nothing more delicious in the world than a root beer popsicle.
That, I'm gonna, that is a favorite of mine, and I haven't had it in I don't know how long.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrific.
Do they still make them?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I wasn't a big root beer. I'm not a big root beer guy to begin with.
Oh, I love root beer.
Just
you
as
know
a...
Where, you know where I had a root beer just a few weeks ago when Gilda was here? We went to a Dog and Suds.
Wow. Oh, where'd you find that?
Up in Richmond, Illinois. Wow. We visited Anderson's Candies.
Did you stay in the car?
Yeah.
Because don't they bring Dog and Suds? They bring, they bring the tray
stayed
out to
in
your
the car,
window.
And I had a large root beer. I generally stay away from soda these days and pop, but not a Dog and Suds.
Yeah, no, that's,
not with a hot dog and or a burger.
Is that their own? Is that their own brand, or do they have like an A&W?
Well,
like what do they serve?
They used to have their own brand. I remember a Dog and Suds back home that had their. It was a wonderfully tasting root beer. A little bit different than an A&W or something like that, or Dad's root beer. Remember?
I remember Dad's.
Those are good.
Yeah. Or Hires, right?
Hires
beer.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
There's a
IBC.
There's Barks. A custom. Is there Spectre? Is that a
Specker? Sprecher.
That's out of Wisconsin.
It's in Wisconsin. I've been to their.
It's a brewery, right?
Yeah.
A actual beer.
Yeah.
But I think they also
and they make root beer.
They make a great root beer.
They make a great grape soda.
You know what?
Do they really?
It's fantastic. Their grape soda is
you
great.
You take one of their root beers, pour it into a Dixie cup, and put it in your freezer.
Oh, interesting. There you go.
That's what we used
make
to
your
do.
homemade popsicle.
We used to do that in our house. My mom would do that and, you know, put stick a popsicle, like she'd wait a little while till it froze a little bit, cram a popsicle stick in it.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, you made your own homemade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. She would make them.
That's wonderful.
Diet Right Cola.
I remember Tab. Oh, God.
Literally, she used to make it with Diet Right Cola.
Diet Right Cola.
When it first came out. When Diet Right first came out and it tasted like turpentine.
Right. Yeah, they didn't know how to do Diet Colas
it's
at
good.
That time.
Oh, just drink it. It's good.
Ooh.
Yeah, we got that a lot.
No, Sprecher's is, in fact, we did a tour. You can go on a tour of the Sprecher's thing just outside of Milwaukee. It's great. There's a little bar there. You can have beer, root beer, all their sodas. It's very cool.
630 area code, root beer popsicle dunked in vanilla ice cream.
Oh, well, that's a root beer float, right? Basically?
Sort of.
Yeah.
I mean, root beer float is vanilla, a couple of scoops of vanilla ice cream.
Well, I understand, but I'm just saying the basic ingredients are there.
It's popsicle a la mode. Come on.
Yeah.
Popsicle a la mode. Exactly. 773, Dean, sorry, in my world, a Green River float beats
that's
out
the
root
best.
Beer float.
I was just going to say, Green River was one of those really underrated drinks.
Yeah. I still see that around.
Oh, that stuff is pure green sugar.
I used to like them when I was a kid. Then I had one recently, and I thought, it's too sweet for
so
me.
Good.
Well, that's why I hadn't had Frosted Flakes in 20 years. I couldn't even take one spoonful. So much sugar.
Trix? How about Trix?
Trix?
Well, Fruit Loops.
Fruit Loops was another one that had a lot of sugar. Yeah.
And I used to eat Frosted
Wasn't
Flakes.
There were sugar pops and sugar smacks.
Sugar smacks. It was sugar everything.
Yeah.
Give them a smack and it'll smack you back.
Richardson Root Beer at Hamburger Heaven in Elmhurst. I remember that.
Hamburger Heaven, right on North and York.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. I remember the root beer there. I want to say that their store looked like a big root beer barrel.
Kind of still there.
On the corner there.
Yeah, it does have it's an old-fashioned kind of, you know, stand-up walk-in place.
708 area code. You got to love Chicago's own Filbert's root beer.
I don't know that.
Filbert's. Yep.
Not familiar with it, but
yeah, I know that.
It sounds good. Sounds tasty to me.
Mm-hmm.
What is root beer? Like, what is it?
Well,
I have a theory on this.
Is it the hot dog of you know, beverages?
I believe when we were in Boy Scouts, Troop 585, and we used to go to the Indiana Dunes State Park. Remember that park, Shawnee?
Do I remember it?
Beautiful Chesterton, Indiana.
Do I remember it?
You grew up there, basically.
I grew up very close to it.
Ah, those summer nights.
So we used to go camping there all the time. But Troop 585, we would go there. Uncle Sid, our scoutmaster.
Uncle Sid?
Wow. That's scary now when I think about it.
Uncle Sid. He was the greatest guy ever. I don't care what you're trying to imply. He was the most compassionate, wonderful, thoughtful man there could possibly be. Sid Picorni was his name.
Picorni.
Sid Picorni.
I know a Picorni.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I'm just saying it's an odd name, and yet I know
it's a Picorni. An odd name. Anyway, we would go camping, and Uncle Sid showed us the sassafras plant.
Oh.
And he said, if you take one of those sassafras plants and pull it out of the ground and smell the root, it smells just like root beer. And we did. And it smelled just like root beer.
So you were making the connection.
He said that if we get some of these roots and boil it, we're making our own root beer.
So thus, the root.
Is that the root?
Of the root beer.
Root beer.
And then the carbonation of the drink? Like carbonated,
like a
carbonation of a beer, yes. Right.
Oh, so you think that the root is actually sassafras.
The root gives it the flavor.
Right,
yeah.
but the root is the sassafras.
I've never had that confirmed in any way, but that's what I'm telling you, if you
that makes
smell
sense.
The sassafras root, it's root beer. And we would take it and, you know, we clean it. And like kind of whittle it a little bit to get the bark off of it, and we'd put it in our mouth. It was kind of woody. Huh. We put it in our mouth like we were smoking cigarettes
because you're cool.
Because we were so cool.
You and Uncle Sid, pretty cool guys.
What 8-year-old wouldn't want to look like they're smoking cigarettes?
Right. So according to the Google machine here,
yes,
and the all important Wikipedia, root beer is a North American soft drink traditionally made using the root bark of the sassafras.
Uncle Sid. He knew.
That's the primary flavor.
Look at that. They used to use sassafras a lot. I remember seeing old movies and people making reference to sassafras.
Go get me some sassafras.
Yeah. So that's the root.
There you go.
It's taken me this many years to realize what is the root of root beer.
I don't care what else we've done on the show today.
I'm done. Shut it off.
Shawnee, we've joked many times about winning a Nobel Prize on this show.
I think this is going to be the nominee. Right?
Today, we actually deserve it.
Today is the one.
The Peabody people
Everything.
Will be knocking.
No.
Wow, so the sassafras root.
Sassafras root.
Nice.
331 area code remembers that their parents made Fresca popsicles.
Oh, remember Fresca?
I want a Fresca.
I'll bet that would be delicious.
Yeah.
I loved
Fresca was good.
I love it. I've had it recently.
I like this idea of the homemade popsicle now.
Yeah.
Fill the ice tray with.
Yeah.
Toothpicks in them. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they sell molds.
Right.
Silicone molds.
For a popsicle?
For actual popsicles.
Oh.
So you can make literal popsicles. But I like the idea better of doing it in a Dixie cup.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it's like you can take any pop.
With Diet Right Cola.
Oh, man. Wow. I mean, that was never good. If you went to a kid's birthday party and they brought out the Diet Right, I just walked out. I was like, okay.
Take my present.
There's no way the cake's going to be good.
a lot of people are texting in that Culver's has root beer, and they make root beer floats.
Nice. Okay. Well, they're very traditional.
So I know where I'm going after the show today.
Some cheese curds would go with that. Mm.
I love this. I love it. All right. So summertime, your favorite summertime food. What's your favorite summertime food? You didn't say.
Oh, I don't know. You know what? I'm trying to think. I don't really have I really like fruit. So like he mentioned grapes. I like...
I like honeydew melon and pineapple. I like a good fruit. Yeah, I like a good fruit salad. Just like taking blueberries and, and raspberries and strawberries and just making a nice fruit salad.
I found some really nice honeydew, ripe.
Oh, I love honeydew.
It's hard to find really nice, ripe honeydew, but I found some this week. That and a perfect watermelon. I bought both of those this week, and I have them in my fridge right now.
Uh-huh. Oh, you put the watermelon, you mean the full watermelon, or cut it already?
I cut it. Yeah, I cut it. Yeah. How do you pick a good watermelon?
And is this one of your bad jokes again?
No. This is another helpful tip.
Oh, but do you know how?
You dare question the king of sassafras?
Still kind of impressed by that. No, how do you do you know how to pick a good well?
I do.
What do you have? Is it like hollow or something?
Yeah, you knock on it. Yeah, it should be consistent in color. It should only have one yellow spot where it was sitting on the ground.
Oh.
So that'll be yellow. But a consistent color, firm on the ends. Take your thumbs and...
Oh. Talk about the watermelons now.
And then you knock on it.
And what... Yeah? And what's it supposed to...
The more hollow it sounds, the sweeter it is.
Ah. Now, do you like... See, I don't like the real red. You like real red?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I like pinky.
No,
like
the real red. That's
the real. My wife likes that too.
That's the tasty part.
When I have to, when I buy her like the cut one already, I don't eat it because it's too smushy to me. I like my watermelon firm.
Uncle Sid would kick you out of a troop right now. 12:37 is the time. It's Dean Richards Sunday on WGN. Get to enjoy the day today and have it all, as Adele sings. Summertime treats. I'm going to be making a summertime Asian cold pasta salad on my TV cooking segment this week. It's like a peanut sauce with some grilled vegetables. I grill, what do I grill up in here? Some pea pods, some red bell pepper, some scallions. Grill those up, mix them in with some rice noodles, not the traditional noodles. I mean, you can use traditional noodles, but if you want to make it a little more authentic, in the Asian section of your grocery store, they sell rice noodles. And it's just like linguine. But number one, they're gluten-free. Rice noodles are gluten-free, by the way. But you mix it in with this sauce that's like peanut and kind of a chili sweet sauce and... What else is in it? Light soy. It's a variety of different flavors. And peanuts, of course, a little cilantro. And you let that sit for a while, and then you mix the noodles with the vegetables and the sauce, and you let it sit for like 24 hours, put it in the fridge, make it the day before, and it's fantastic. It's nice and icy cold. I'm going to grill up some shrimp that I'm going to throw in there also, just to add a little protein. But that's so that's what I'm going to be doing on Wednesday. But what I wanted to find out from you was your favorite summertime foods. What are your go-to summertime foods? A burger, good old plain old burger on the grill. Nothing better. I'm not a fan, as I've said many times on the show. Not especially a fan of the burgers with the fried egg on it and all the junk that they put on it that makes the burger super high and impossible to eat. Give me a nice burger, maybe a nice cheddar burger with a nice slice of tomato, a nice slice of onion. The Vidalia onions are starting to come in, and they're fantastic on a burger. Some lettuce. Ketchup and tomato, ketchup and mustard. Good night, Irene, as my dad used to say. I think a burger is my like quintessential summertime food. But also, the phones have exploded with these dessert ideas. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. 312-981-7200. Love for you to call in so we can chat a little bit. But if you want to text in, that's super fine as well. Here is the 630 area code telling me sarsaparilla is similar to root beer, but it's so hard to find. I believe the Deans ice cream makes sarsaparilla, Blue Bunny, and North Star, but they're hard to come by. I don't know. Have I had? I don't think I've ever really had sarsaparilla to know the difference. Yeah, not sure about that. Let me see here what else we have. Oh, banana popsicles. We've been talking a lot about root beer popsicles here, which are fantastic. But banana popsicle, oh, yeah, that's good eating. Especially, you know, you take your overripe bananas, puree them, and put them into either a popsicle mode. Almost all of the stores now sell these, you know, like popsicle mode, so you can make your own kind of popsicles. Or, as I was saying, what my mom used to do is take the little Dixie cups and pour stuff in them to freeze them for treats for the kids, because you know, according to her, we were too poor to have good humor, so she would make her own with Diet Ray Cola. But that's a whole nother story of why I am the way I am. But you take the you know, you could just take like a banana, put a popsicle stick in it, dip it in chocolate, and freeze it. There's no better treat than that. But when they get overripe, you can puree them, put them in the Dixie cups, and you've got your frozen banana, also very delicious. For quintessential summer foods, and I have to agree on this one too, for maybe my quintessential summer side dish, corn on the cob, roasted corn on the cob. Oh, baby, nothing better. I think it's sacrilege to boil corn on the cob because it's so incredibly delicious when you put it on the grill, and it just caramelizes all of the sugars in it, and it's an amazing flavor. It's the best flavor ever. So, you know, roasted corn on the cob, and I've done it on TV many times. You take your corn on the cob. You can leave it right in the husk if you want, with the silk and everything, dip it in some water. When you put it on the grill, it's going to steam up a little bit, but it also is going to caramelize all of the sugars. Or what I usually do, because it's a little easier to clean it before you cook the corn, is I take the husk off. I take all the silk off first. I put a little tab of butter in a piece of aluminum foil, wrap it all up, and then put it on the grill. 10 minutes and give it a third of a turn. 10 minutes and a third of a turn. 10 minutes and a third of a turn. And the corn is done perfectly every time. And it's, you know, slightly caramelized. Super, super delicious. 630 area code says, for popsicles, guys, please give some time to paletas. Paletas. Paletas are a Mexican frozen treat made from fresh natural fruits like strawberry and mango, and made from some rich creamy ingredients such as chocolate and Sicilian pistachio. I have had these, and these paletas, I hope I'm saying it right, are incredibly delicious. And it's most basically you know, pulverized liquefied fruit. So, yeah, you're right. It does not get too much better than that. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. Here is, let me see here, the 773 area code. One of my go-to choices from the Good Humor truck was the Wahoo Bar. It was a bar-shaped popsicle. The advantage, it was only a nickel, and nobody would come up to you trying to get half of your regular popsicle. Like, that's all, that's true. If you had a regular popsicle, somebody wanted to share with you. That's very, very true. Wahoo Bar. I don't remember that. Maybe that was after my time. 414 area code. In old cowboy movies, the hero, White Hat, would walk into the saloon and order a sassafras. Non-alcohol. I said, somebody said a little earlier that it tasted very much like root beer. I don't know anything about sassafras. I'm going to try to learn about that. 847 said that their quintessential summer treat, DQ dipped cones. Oh, those are good. Where they take the ice cream cone and dip it in the chocolate that turns into a shell.
Yeah, that's some fine eating right there. Let me see here. 708 area code. Dean, I have a gas grill. At what temperature do you grill your corn? Let me see. It's not super hot. I might have it at about 350, 400 degrees, I think. Yeah, you don't want it too high because then the kernels are going to burn inside. I'm going to say like 350, 400, something. Start at 350 and see how it goes. Every grill is a little bit different. But yeah, I think I would be about 350, 400. You know, you can always put it on for a few more minutes if you need to, right? 312-981-7200, and this is Kerry. You're on WGN. Hello.
Hey, morning, Dean, or afternoon, Dean. Hey, we just bought something really cool that brings back childhood. For your KitchenAid mixer, if you have one, you can buy a shaved ice attachment, and you make snow cone. And then you buy syrup. You can buy it at any grocery store, sure. The syrup, and you can even find the little cone-shaped cups.
Oh,
and it immediately brings you back to when you were a little kid.
Of course, I remember the dime store. We used to go.
Oh yeah,
get a snow cone, and it was shaved ice, basically, right?
And shaved ice. Well, that's what the attachment is called, a shaved ice maker, and it comes with these little pucks. You freeze it in, then they pop into the KitchenAid. Then you get a snow cone.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, we used to get them at the Kresge at Belmont and Central. But yep,
Kreskes. Wow.
But yeah, I mean, it's it just when we bought it, my wife's like, we should get this. I'm like, yep, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
That's fantastic.
And I'm like, it immediately brought me back to childhood.
I'm so happy that you did that. And it's different than just like crushed ice. It's completely different.
Yeah, no, it's shaved.
It's like snow.
It's a different texture.
It's like snow, right?
It's like, yeah, it's like snow. And then when you put the syrup on it, the snow turns into that magical whatever it is.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah, it's not crushed ice. It's shaved ice.
Yeah, and you've got to have the super sweet syrup to put on top of it, not just like a soft drink or anything. It's got to be like...
Nope.
Yeah. It's
it's bright colored, and you can buy that at the Jewel. I mean, they've got three flavors you can buy just off the shelf.
I'm gonna have to look for something like that for my KitchenAid. I have a couple of attachments, you know, for grinding meat and things.
Oh yeah, sure. It's the same deal. Right on the front. Pops right on the front.
Pops right on.
Yep.
And oh man, I'm gonna be a snow cone making machine thanks to you.
There you go, Dino, the snow cone machino.
Kerry, have a great day today. Thank you.
Thanks, you too, Dean.
Bye.
Take care, man.
312-981-7200. Let me see here. 630 area code. Dean, fruit. It's also good. The strawberries in my garden are so sweet right now. Wow, it seems early for strawberries, doesn't it? Maybe I haven't grown strawberries in my yard in a long time because they kind of took over. And so I did them for a couple of years. And I thought, for all the work I'm putting into this, I'm getting like, 10 strawberries. I would just rather go to the store and get a basket full of them. But when they're right out of the yard, they're super tasty. But for some reason, I thought that they ripened up and they're ready to pick a little later in the summer, but you would know better than I would. So I'm glad you're enjoying that. I'm telling you what, there's nothing better than some nice fruit. We were talking earlier about a nice watermelon, or cantaloupe, I'm noticing, is a little more plentiful in the store right now. Honeydew, the stone fruits are going to start coming in like crazy right now. The berries in the stores are all terrific right now. So, yeah. Oh, my gosh. And I don't know if, some of you do like I do with fruit. I like to throw it on the grill also. When we get into the time of year when peaches are ripe, I take a peach, cut it in half, take the pit out, and then I'll put it on the grill flesh side down, not skin side, but flesh side, the cut side down on the grill, so it gets some grill marks on it, but it caramelizes the sugars of the peach,
and softens it up a little bit, and it's like peach cobbler. It's so delicious. And you take these, you know, peach halves, put a little scoop of vanilla ice cream in the middle of it, and go to town. It's the greatest. I've done that with pineapple. I do it all the time with pineapple. I love to throw it on the grill. It's so delicious. I've done it with apples. I've taken apples and cored them out and just, you know, put them right on the grill. Indirect heat, not with flame underneath, but indirect heat so they soften up. And then, you know, again, a little scoop of ice cream, a little cinnamon, you know, inside of it. Oh, is that a, that's a good summertime treat, tell you what. What else do we have here? Here is somebody in the 219 area code telling me, we just bought one of those snow cone machines for my husband's great nephew for Christmas. And his mom was telling me that it's a hit at Little League practice. Of course it's a hit at Little League practice. Who wouldn't want a homemade snow cone at Little League practice? Absolutely. Vicki, hi, you're on WGN.
Hi. I wanted to tell you about my experience making popsicles in ice cube trays.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with a little toothpick in it for the handle.
Oh, nice.
We used to do it all the time with Kool-Aid. And it had been some time since I did it. And I got out the Jell-O. I got a little mixed up. And I thought, this is taking a lot longer than I remember it taking. And then when they were finished, you could pretty much bounce them.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. I think of it now, and I went, what was I thinking? But I'm really enjoying hearing you both reminiscing and other listeners.
It's fun just to get ready for summer, because there are certain foods, right, for summertime, desserts and things like that are quintessentially summer.
Well, I remember getting dreamsicles, you know, when the ice cream truck would go by. You don't see ice cream trucks anymore.
Right.
And things like that. You'd always have, like, popsicles and fudgesicles in the freezer. And,
yeah.
But anytime, that's all good.
Yeah, we used to have the Good Humor Man that would come by. And then also these, they're kind of like bicycles with a refrigerated container.
I remember.
On the front of the bike, right. Remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the days.
You heard the bell. I remember, I think I was in high school. I drove one of those things around for one summer, you know, thinking that, oh, I'm going to have free ice cream all the time. And, you know, that's good for like maybe 1 or 2 days. And then you're so sick of ice cream, you can't even look at it. And it's really hard work pushing that giant thing around. So after,
more than you would think.
Yeah, sure. after a short period of time, I retired from the ice cream industry. Vicki, have a great day today. Thank you for calling.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Tommy, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hi, Dean. How are you?
Hey, buddy.
Great show always.
Thank you.
I just had a new way to do s'mores for anyone out there who's feeling adventurous this summer.
All right. New way of doing it.
You mix together Rice Krispie treats in the bowl and then spread them out flat, like on a cookie sheet.
Yeah.
And then next thing you do is cover with, you know, that fluffer nutter stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, in the jar, so, right? Yep.
Okay, so cover that on your flat sheet of your Rice Krispie treats.
Okay.
Cover the fluffer nutter. Next, you put, I take graham crackers, just ground them into a powder.
Okay.
Put that on there.
Onto the fluffer nutter.
Yep. Then take your Hershey chocolate bars, put those on there, lay them, you know, in order so that they cover flat.
Yeah.
Then do another piece of the Rice Krispie treat. Put it on top of it,
that's
like a sandwich.
Top.
So the whole thing's like a sandwich.
Oh, my God.
Then
gosh.
You cut 3 inches. You go 3 inches in, cut straight down, go another 3 inches, cut straight down.
Yeah.
Some people put a skewer through it so that when you put it on the grill, you cook it on. So these are going to cook on the grill, not over a fire.
Yeah.
So now you put it on the grill, and then you, if there's skewers in there, you just flip it. If not, take your tongs and just flip it.
Right.
So all the inside gets cooked, and then you get that little grill on the outside. It's like you said, indirect heat. You're not doing it over fire.
Right, right.
And then you just have these s'more bars instead of eating it off of a stick, you just have a s'more bar.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. The Rice Krispie treats don't melt when you put them over the fire.
No. And you're making them. I mean, you would be making your own Rice Krispie, mix.
Yeah, I was just wondering if the heat, kind of disassembled what you already assembled with the Rice Krispie treat. But it sounds like what it's doing is toasting it up.
Melting it all into one.
Yeah, and toasting it up a little bit with all those yummy ingredients inside of it.
Yeah, you're only doing it enough to melt really the chocolate bar inside, because the rest is kind of all already together.
Already done, yeah.
You could throw down tin foil, too.
That sounds amazing, and it's still got the cinnamon flavor, a graham cracker flavor, rather. You still have that in there, but it's no longer the crust. These Rice Krispie treats are now the crust of it all. And
they're the two pieces of bread.
The marshmallow cream's in there, the chocolate's in there, the graham cracker crumbled, cracker is in there. That sounds amazing. Wow, I love that.
And real quick on the fruit thing, I know you've had to have done this before, is pineapple on the grill is amazing.
Yeah, it's great. I will take any opportunity to take some fruit and put it on the grill, get a few grill marks on it. It ups the level of deliciousness, in my opinion.
All right. Well, we need to see it on the morning news.
I will.
Your tips for grilling fruit.
I'm going to do some grilled fruit the next couple of weeks. I appreciate the call. Have a great day, Tommy, and thank you. Enjoy summertime.
You too. Thank you.